If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, A Quickness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
All right, well, welcome, guys, to If Lands Could Kill. This is episode 12. I am Knife City, and I am joined with my esteemed colleagues, the man with more butt hair than any other person I know.
A Quickness.
It is the hot sauce. How are you doing,
it
sauce?
It is the hot sauce. I don't know, my butt's all right. Feels all right.
Yeah.
Nice cushion.
Yeah, kind of. In the winter, it helps, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Insulation.
And I've brought it up before. If I'm getting intimate with a girl and they see it, it's already too late.
Yeah.
You know,
we
can't go back. It's not like you can't turn back. We're already gone down the rabbit hole a little bit too far. So it's been no problem, actually, my whole life.
At that
it's been
point.
Fine.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go into any more details than that. It's fine.
I'm right there with you. You know, when I strip naked, it's like, dude, what do you still have sweatpants on for? You know, yeah. It's okay.
Little chewy action.
And also, Reich.
I am here today.
The man of many names.
I know. I go by...
And many games.
Many games. But yeah, I'm pretty good. Just hanging out today. The wife is out with the girls all day, so I am going to be looking forward to a lot of magic today.
We're playing magic from 10 a.m. on a Saturday, hopefully past midnight. It's
going to
be the longest run of any magic group before,
it's gonna be before
us, and there will be none after us.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to set the world record of magic playing in one
day. Breaking records every day.
All day long. But yeah, I'm good, and looking forward to some magic. This podcast, I feel, is going to be good, because we got a lot of good content to talk about.
But we don't have a Quickness with us.
Yeah, we are missing. We are a man down. We are flying the missing man formation today.
Yeah. But you know, if three people can still make the V, so we're like the ducks in the sky, you know, in a formation. Well, we'll be all right. But,
yeah, we are missing a Quickness, though. He is not feeling well, so I hope he feels better. But we will continue on.
We will forge on. So, what's been going on, guys?
Oh, man. There's a lot of shit going on with the new M15 coming out. We actually did a pre-release.
No. Fuck magic.
Yeah, no.
I was saying, you don't want to do that
for everything.
No.
Oh, you want to talk about other things. Look at a half hour of other things.
Of bullshit? Oh,
yeah.
No. Like, so, I've been fucking watching a lot of YouTube about Warhammer.
Warhammer.
Yeah, because we went to the pre-release at...
Is that the tabletop?
It's a tabletop game, because I was looking at, tabletop games, because I don't, you know, I was fucking bored.
And what's the next level?
I was like, yeah, because we went to it was a place in, around here, our game store, called Game Empire, and they don't, it's, they do magic on the side, but it's mainly for tabletop and, card games, those kind of games, and I was looking at a lot of that shit there, and I was like, oh, man, these... Fucking people, they put so much time in, because you get the models, whatever, then they're just plastic or, you know,
pewter,
cast whatever.
Carbon fiber, graphite.
But they come with no steel. Color on them or anything, and people meticulously fucking paint these things. And I was like, that is fucking awesome. Like, someone has to spend so much time just doing on one little unit, and then they gotta do hundreds of these things.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is blows my mind that people are able to do that, so well.
It's dedication, right?
Yeah, they had, people's, shit displayed, and I was like, this is, fucking bad. I know it's gotta be, at least,
this is art. This is nerd art.
Yeah, it's, gotta be, a couple grand, for just the figures alone, but, the time and, effort that's put
the
into
man
these...
hours.
Yeah, the man hours put into these figurines or whatever, it's, or the models, it's, crazy. So I've been just looking up that shit at, just hanging out, and I've been watching battle reports, so people playing, Warhammer 40K, which is... They have two different Warhammers. They have the Warhammer Fantasy, which is War of Warcraft, orcs and,
goblins,
fucking axes and shit. And then they have the 40K version, which is still goblins and orcs and, fucking humans and all these other things. But they have, guns and shit and, tanks,
okay.
Which are, fucking just, it's funny because the orcs have, They have these, like, just tanks that are just fucking, like, mismatched, like, just shit put together, just, like, scrap metal everywhere. And they're like, ah, fuck it, I don't care, whatever.
It's, yeah.
It has wheels, it goes.
Yeah, we're like, orcs, we don't
strap
care.
A big fucking bomb on it that might kill us all, but hey, whatever. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, I was watching a lot of battle reports, like, just people playing, and that's fucking, it looks really fun. It's a it's all dice, like, it all just D6 dice, and you roll, like, 20 of them for, like, each shot or whatever.
And, like, so it's, movement. It's like, let's say it's a cross between, like, Warcraft and Risk. Kind of?
Kind of, yeah.
Is that, because like, the general...
you have to roll the dice to yeah. do damage.
Battle. Like, and you roll the dice, like, see how far you move, and, like, they use, like, fucking rulers, or, like, actual tape measures.
Yeah, I saw them use tape measures.
Because, like, you say you, like, roll a 6 or whatever for your movement, like, you move, like, 6 inches. Like, everything's in inches.
Hmm.
And, like, oh, you can only fire, like, 24 inches, so they gotta fucking measure everything. But, I mean, it's cool, because, like, you just roll dice, and, like, everything happens off the dice. So there's no... I mean, there's, like, certain units have, I guess, like, stats. Like, oh, like my...
plus two.
I have...
inches.
12.
I wish there was... My unit has plus 2 inches.
Yeah, if only. Yeah.
Can I be an equipment for magic or something?
So they have, like, you know, like, stats, like, oh, my guy has, like, 12 adamantium titanium armor, so, like, you gotta roll, like, a 12.
You got, like, X-Men in this thing? Yeah.
You gotta roll, like, a 12 on your six-sided die to actually do any damage.
Right.
You know, just shit like that.
If you roll a Z, you destroy all forces.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I just came up with a new name for my penis, the D6.
The D6. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. That's...
Is that what it is now?
They have D4s, right?
Oh, fuck. I've been watching that shit. And it's actually kind of cool. I don't know. I don't think I'll be able to get into it. But, I mean, I just like watching it. Because it's like, it's just cool to see what other people have done.
Yeah, I was looking into the Star Wars one, the X-Wing.
Yeah, I was actually kind of thinking about buying up a starter box for that.
And it's like, you don't have to, like, paint them. They already come all, like, set up and everything.
Sweet.
But it's kind of like the... I honestly don't know, like, much about it, but I assume it's, like, the beginner's game of, yeah, like, the Warhammer type of games.
Yeah, I hear it's, like, it's easy to learn, but it's still a little complex, but right, it's, like, it's way more simplified, I guess, than the other ones. Because you don't have, like, I mean, you have stats on it, but, I mean, I don't think it's, like, anything near, like, the Warhammer, like, dedication you need
yeah.
to really get into it. But, yeah, I mean, like, I was, like... at Barnes and Nobles, and they have like a little starter kit.
Yeah, next to like the 60, fantasy.
Yeah, it's like $60-$80. I was like, oh, should I? Like $60 for a box.
Really? I thought it was like cheaper than that.
Oh, maybe.
Or maybe that was like an expansion.
It might be. But you can buy like the box or whatever that comes with like two TIE fighters and like an X-Wing or something like that. But they have like ones where you can buy like the Millennium Falcon or like the fucking Boba Fett's like Slave One. Like,
yeah,
they have like the hero ones where you can like you pay like $30 for like a fucking Slave One, but it's still fucking bad. I'm like, I just want it just to have the model.
I really don't play it.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm definitely thinking about checking that out.
That might have to be our next venture.
Yeah,
because I've been like Jay Bush from the A Team has been talking about he talked about it in the past, and I've like same thing. I saw it in Barnes & Noble. I was like, what the fuck is this? Fucking sweet. So I don't know. We'll have to look into that in the future. But. Yeah, it looks kind of expensive.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
Whatever. Dude, that's like, come on. Would you rather have a full game or 3 Elspeth?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm taking a 3 Elspeth all day long.
Oh shit, son! You seen them soldiers?
So what other games have you been piquing you guys' interest or playing or what the fuck happened?
It's been like 3 weeks. I can't remember.
I know there's a lot of games back in that fucking like Steam sale happened and.
Yeah, any more Steam sale action?
No, actually, I didn't buy anything during the Steam sale, which is sad. I bought fucking European Truck Simulator
for
like $2, though.
Does it have like the little the cam on the dash? So like,
yeah, I think it has
people
a backup
can't
cam.
Like jump in front of you and then sue you for. Is that just Russia?
No, I think that's just Russia.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all about that
slow motion.
Yeah, apparently there's an epidemic of like people. You know, the economy is shit over there or something. So people will like jump in front of cars and then say that you hit them, and then they'll sue you.
Yeah.
So they can get money. So people have like a lot of car, like dash cams.
Yeah.
Like you know how the
just
cops
regular
have.
People just
yeah, just driving. Regular people driving.
Kept and so themselves, yep.
I saw a bunch of
there's some videos out there. That are crazy.
Yeah, the like crazy the fail videos. Like you see him like kind of like, gunning.
Nope.
And they just jump, hit the hood, and roll off into the street or whatever.
Then they run away because it didn't work.
Yeah. Oh, they jump and miss.
Yeah. They get out there and they it's beat him so to bad. Death, and then they run over him.
Like, that's so crazy. Like, how bad is the guy? I mean, that's got to be pretty bad. If you're like, I'm going to throw my body in front of a fucking 2,000, 3,000 pound object
yeah.
that's moving at, like, you know, 40 miles an hour.
I don't like people coming to my door asking me to fucking give them money for their cause. That's how bad my day is.
Yeah. You yeah. can't imagine my day like, well, I might die, but it's better than this.
Yeah.
It's win-win. I can die or I can get money. Both of them take me
I don't
to
lose.
Shitty town I live in.
Oh, God. Sorry, Russia. That's pretty
I'm
bad,
not
though.
Sorry.
No, really, though. That's it, Russia sounds terrible.
but now I've been playing. I wanted to get Payday 2, like some of my brother-in-law and his wife have been playing.
So old. Oh, my God. It's like
what is that game? Like a bank robber
yeah,
game?
Yeah, it's like a multiplayer bank robber game. Like, you have, like, I guess, roles. Like, someone be like, oh, you be the Mr. Lockpick. Like, you do
You lock- be Mr. Pink.
You be Mr. Pink.
Oh, I got to be Mr. Pink.
You be Mr. White. But, yeah, it's just a bank robbery game. And I didn't buy it when it was on Steam sale. It was really cheap, but I might sell it.
Was it $3 or
yeah, it was really cheap. Now it's like $20. I was like, well, they're playing it. And I'm like, I fucking missed the sale. I might just get it. But, no, I haven't been playing too much other games. I started playing my older game. It's called Mountain Blade Warband. It's like a medieval, like, fucking knights and peasants game where you're like, it's first person or third person where you just fucking ride around and, like, stab people with spears and shit. But it's online, so I've just been playing that.
Right on.
But I haven't been playing too much of this stuff.
I've been trying to, like, look through Steam for all the free-to-play games and, like, see if any of them are kind of up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried Dota 2. And so I think, like, what I was looking for was, like, kind of a simple game that I didn't need to put, like, a lot of time into learning.
Just something to jump
and,
in and play.
Yeah, and that's not Dota 2.
That's like League of Legends, like all those games. You need to like get into that.
Yeah, like
you have to be like in that mindset.
I learned like the rule. It reminded me of like Warcraft 3
yeah.
or whatever. But like I learned the rules, the basics. And then like when it came to like, oh, you have to like combine these items to make this item. Like I'm just not, I wasn't in the mood to like dedicate more brain space to like the game. So I was just like, I don't want to play it. Like, I'm sure it's cool, but I wasn't into it. I downloaded League of Legends 2, and I, same thing, I played, like, the tutorial, and then I was just like,
Are there any games
really
of that style that are, like, just little pick-up and plays, like, where you don't need the real serious dedication to
for the like
get
the,
started?
The battle arena games, like the MOBA? Like
yeah, MOBAs
like
or,
the
like,
tower defense games?
Type tower defense, any of that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm sure like, there are some, things. But not, like, the real popular ones.
Yeah, like
maybe you're
like,
not going to have to just if it's an example of like raiding, you don't have to just raid to play
oh,
the game,
like
you know,
that.
Or you don't have to be a professional because when you start off in the game, like everyone is, you're on the same playing field and then everyone else around you is like a fucking pro. Like they don't have, I don't know, some games like it's nice to start off where you're with a bunch of other beginners or whatever.
Well, I think it does
yeah.
like, it does match you up
like for
in
your
the
first,
game
like,
lobby.
For your first like bunch of games.
But you can't do that forever, though.
You oh, technically
you can.
Okay.
Well, like I think like when once you win a game or whatever, like it like levels you. Like you have it levels the your actual like player, or,
right?
Not your hero, because you can pick a bunch of different heroes.
Like your right. At least like levels your profile.
Yeah, exactly. So it will like you know match you accordingly. But that's the one thing I did like about it is that you know there's no like pay to win sort of stuff.
I think that's
everything.
Huge, huge deal. I love that.
Yeah, everything you buy is just for cosmetics, like you know, just how the character looks
you
or whatever.
Buy new heroes though. Too.
Like yeah, like say if you like some new hero came out, like I really want him, but I don't want to keep play like 40 games just to be able to afford him. Like you can just pay money to buy him,
yeah.
But it's not like.
But they're balanced. They're not like you're getting even better. You're just.
I'm sure there's like
yeah.
you know.
There's not like I want to buy this.
There's proven like heroes that are
right.
You know,
like
slightly
better. Incrementally better.
Exactly. It's not like blow you out of the water better.
Yeah, but you can't buy like I'm going to buy this +3/+8 sword of like killing that just murders everyone for like $100.
Yeah.
It's like there's none of that like pay to win stuff.
That's perfect. Perfect. There's a lot of fucking games nowadays that pay to win.
Yeah.
Like Raheem. Mr. Mihar was playing this Tom Clancy shooter game, and it seemed real cool, but it did seem like a pay-to-win game. Where you can
like pay
you can,
to get new guns.
Yeah, you can pay to exactly. You can pay to get new guns, and so you could either play the matches and unlock a weapon every 15 games or something like that you play, or you could just go ahead and get all the guns you want. And I asked him, we didn't really get a confirmation, but my understanding is if someone else drops a gun, you're not able to pick it up. Able to like try out other guns temporarily. You just have to stick with your basis. I could be wrong, but I asked him, and that's what he said. So,
because like in a lot of first-person shooters, like sure, like the gun looks cool, and then like you try it out, you're like, this fucking sucks. Like this rate of fire is horrible. Mm-hmm. This fucking recoil is throwing me off. So that's kind
of which is good. Like I like the Call of Duty balance, where like the starting guns are just as powerful as the end guns. Just that they just work differently.
Yeah, whatever style you
want. Yeah, you could be level 70 and you finally unlock that last gun. But that one just shoots at a more rapid rate, but it also doesn't go as long range or whatever. Like, it's balanced, you know? So I don't mind that at all.
Speaking of that, I've actually been playing a lot of Call of Duty lately. You know,
Xbox One.
I played... it was, like, one of the first games I got when I got the Xbox, so I played the shit out of it. Mostly, like, multiplayer. I played the campaign just to finish it, which was... It was decent.
They had dogs, right?
We're talking about the OG, dogs, right? OG Call of Duty, right?
No, it's not the new one.
No, it's the new one.
It's Ghosts?
Yeah, Ghosts. With the dogs. Okay. With the dogs. Yeah, dogs. They have dogs.
The dogs.
Yeah, and you can't knife the dogs. That's fucking pisses me off. Like, if the dog, like, is in, like, 5-10 feet of you, like, you're dead.
You are dead. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
What?
So, like, there's a perfect opportunity. Like, obviously, you have to get the timing right, kind of like with... like in Mike Tyson's punch out with the bald bull, you know, like he charges you and then you have like that 1 second to like hit him just right.
Nice game drop.
Yeah.
I'm actually like, thinking way back, like, what is he talking about? What part is he talking about?
So I imagine like that would be, you know, when I first started playing, I was like, okay, there'll be like that 1 second where I can like knife the dog when he's coming from my throat.
The other games you can. Call of Duty franchise the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, the whole time you can knife him. In this, you cannot knife him.
I think PETA made a call. Like, hey, we don't want you knifing dogs in your game.
Yeah. But I've been playing a lot of that. I've been actually streaming some of that. I haven't played it for a while because I was on my Watch Dogs kick for a long time. And I also played Guacamelee. It's a free, or at least on the Xbox Store, it's free.
It was free because of the Games with Gold. It's not a free title, but
right.
Xbox for the month of whatever the fuck, they had it for free.
Yeah, and it was actually a pretty cool game. I was like, oh, it's probably like some shit game, and then I started playing it, and I was like, ah, it's kind of just like a side-scroller with like, you know, you hit people and use combos and whatever. But I just kept playing it because I was bored one day, and it turns out like it's almost like a puzzle game also. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of reminds me of a Mega Man meets Street Fighter meets like fucking Zelda almost, like
Double Dragon. The
puzzle aspect of Zelda, because like, you know, as you go along you unlock like different moves. So there's like a double jump move, and then there's like a super uppercut, and then like a dash. And so once you get all these moves, like you have to figure out how to like get from point A to point B. And also there's like a Day of the Dead world. So there's like a dark world and a light world, and mm-hmm. you can switch automatically between the two. And so, like,
and you need to for puzzles and stuff.
Yeah, and you need to for puzzles. So, like, certain walls will disappear, or like certain enemies will pop up in certain worlds, and so, yeah, that whole the puzzle aspect I really appreciated. And it was a, you know, decently long game. It wasn't like 2 hours. I beat it. It was like, I think I put like 10 hours into it and beat it. So, I mean, that was pretty fun. And other than that, I've been on my NES kick. Of streaming NES games. I'm doing a season of Super Tecmo Bowl. Mm-hmm. Do you guys ever play?
I play Tecmo Bowl.
I'm actually wearing the shirt now, like the oddly shirt. Enough.
Yeah.
Weird.
Nice to see he's wearing a Tecmo Bowl shirt, and it is amazing. Yeah.
So I've been streamed a couple games of that. I'm going to finish out the season before my girlfriend gets back from vacation, and then I have to like pay attention to her.
The game you need to play is fucking NES... Pro Wrestling, I think it's called.
Oh my god, I
that
love
game
it.
Was
a winner
my,
is you!
That game was the greatest game when I was a kid. And fucking, you could play like the pink dude with the, like they had the Mexican wrestlers
the
in it.
Luchador.
Like the luchador, yeah, they had like a pink guy with a star face, and it's just like, you like put his butt in your face and do all this weird shit. That was just amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing game. Anyways.
That's awesome. So I wanted to touch on one thing, not anything related to what we've been doing lately, but something I discovered how to do, something I heard about like a year ago, and now I actually know how to do it. So if you have Steam, and you have a best pal, you can link accounts so that you guys can share games.
What?
So you're part of like a Steam family. What happens is, whatever games I have in my library, you can play as long as I'm not signed into my Steam account and viewing my library at the time, or you're playing a game. So you can only do one at a time, and I can't be playing another game in my library while you're playing another game in my library.
So, like, if we did the Steam thing, like, I can't play one of your games while you're playing one of my games?
Maybe.
To be continued?
Possibly, actually. Okay. Because it is two different libraries, but I'm not really sure. I'm unsure
but
about that.
Like, I definitely can't be playing one of my games. Or, well, if I'm playing one of my games, you can't play one of my games, right?
That's right. Got to be it.
Right.
It's got to be that.
I would say, let's just go that. If
one
you're basically, if
library.
You're playing on Steam, I can't do anything with your library.
Okay.
And vice versa. Let's just go with that. So, it was a little confusing. The instructions tell you, like, oh, it's so simple. Just go to here and authorize the computer. The end. And I'm like, oh, cool. And it doesn't quite work that way. You have to go, basically, the roommate we have is Mr. Mihar. I went into his computer. I signed out of his Steam account and signed into mine. Then on his computer, I clicked authorize account, right? So I authorized his computer to use mine or whatever, right? Then he goes to my computer, goes under my Steam account, logs off, logs into his, authorizes my computer. Then we both go back into our own computers, log in again with our own, you know, whatever. And then we go in, and then you can go into the same thing where it's an authorized computer, and you'll see
like the link,
the link or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And then you authorize it a second time. Like,
oh, wow.
Like it's a handshake that you have to do both people. So you can't have some friend that's like, you know, across the city and you never fucking see him in person and just, like, do it over the phone. You can't, you know. Well, I guess you could if you want to give him all your password and shit.
Okay.
But you have to be there to sign in, authorize, and all that stuff. When they, in the instructions, they don't say that you have to go to each computer. They just say, like, go to this thing, authorize computer, and you're done. And I'm like, oh, cool. So we did that on our own. And I'm like, I don't see yours. And he's like, I don't see yours. You know? So that's the thing. You got to go into your buddies. But it's real cool because if, like, someone's not home or someone's at work or whatever, or they're playing a game that's just not related to Steam, go ahead, tear that shit up. You know what I mean? Or make a little, set it up with your buddy. Be like, hey, let me play this thing tonight or whatever. Or you play something else or whatever. It makes
cool.
It, you can plan out your purchases.
That's really
you
awesome,
know? So, but you can't, you know, I can't get Call of Duty, and then we play each other or something like that. So they do make it if you both want to play each other, which you probably do, then you need to purchase separately.
That's good for like single player games, like the little like you know adventure
little
games,
indie
you know.
Games.
Absolutely.
So like, oh, I want to like I don't want to buy Braid or something. Like, oh, use
exactly
my account
what
or something.
It's for. It's for. I bought like Stanley Parable. I bought Fez. I have like Braid and all those other
How's
little
Fez,
games.
By the way,
I didn't play Fez yet.
Okay.
I did play Stanley Parable though, and it's fucking, it's amazing.
Nice.
But it's. I can't really explain it without giving things away. Just picture it that it's the humor of Portal 2 exactly, but just the whole game. That's the whole point of the game, is the humor of that game. That's like, I can't explain it any better. So there's not like puzzles and extra elements of gameplay to it. It's just a fucking joke the whole game.
That's awesome.
And you can make the joke last as long as you want or as short as you want. You can beat the game in under a minute, basically, kind of. Or they have an achievement where you can, if you can, okay, how about this? You can stop yourself from progressing any farther right away. You can just, like, say, nope, I'm done. You can, like, with the controls of the game, you can be like, nope, I'm done. And the announcer will be like, oh, you just giving up like that, huh? Like, this is how it's going to be? All right. You're just too scared to walk outside, huh? Okay, cool. Anyways, there's an achievement to beat the game in 4 minutes and 22 seconds. And you can. But it takes you, like, a half hour of playing.
Like going
to
like
figure out how to do that 4 minutes
to beat the form. Well, it just the game doesn't allow you to do it right away or something. Like it's real tricky like that.
It
you
like
know?
Fucks with you.
Yeah, yeah. The whole game is a game fucks with you.
Nice,
100%. You'll be walking down a hallway and then the hallway will just be an infinite loop, and then the announcer's like, "What do you think you're doing?" or whatever. Like, you know, and then he'll finally the announcer will just do whatever he wants. and you'll just go into some other thing, and you're just like, why am I here now? And that's the whole game. You don't know what's going on the whole time. You're just following the announcer, and there's like 20 different endings, you know, or whatever, and you just do what you want. It's real fucking funny, though. So, anyways, that's a perfect example. That game only takes, like, I played 4 hours of it, and that's, like, doing everything I pretty much could or wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect game for, like, fucking Raheem, go ahead and play that shit. You guys go and play that shit. We can link our accounts. Nice. But you're not going to, like, play it again, so.
It's like one deal and done.
One and done?
Yeah, right. One and done.
But, so we got me and Knife, and hopefully Reich soon, picked up the M15 Duels of the Planeswalker game.
Yeah, I'll be getting that.
I'm not saying we're getting into Magic yet. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying
we're just talking about games.
It's a Steam game. Yeah. It's a Steam game.
Yeah.
And it is much improved, and I really enjoy it.
It's mostly improved. Like, I like that you can totally customize your deck. I like that you can, like, choose, like, you know, do you want to be black red, black white, black green, black blue? Do you want to be green, red? Right. You know, you can choose any, like, color combination you want. But, like, the whole micro transaction of, like, buying more booster packs, it's, like, getting closer to what Modo is, or kind of, you know what I mean?
It still is, like, chances, though.
What do you mean?
Like, yeah, because, at least you're not, like, paying to win necessarily, because you're not just buying,
like, winning single cards,
you're
right?
Not buying singles.
Right.
You're just buying boosters.
There's no secondary market.
At least there is that, so... Yeah.
I mean, I'd like one day for the Duels of the Planeswalker and Modo to, like, meet in the middle and, like, have, like, a nice little,
like, we can offspring. Have a serious collection.
Yeah, you can have, like, a serious collect. Well, I just mean, like, you know, basically they make Modo better.
You just want Modo to be like Planeswalker.
Well, because
like,
I see Duels of the Planeswalker and I'm like, God, this looks so, like, nice and streamlined and everything.
How about this, though? What about having Modo but also having it with, like, challenge modes and stuff like that, where you can get your homebrewed deck and, like, go against a deck that doesn't, like, it doesn't have the same rules that you've always been playing with, where, like, that person starts off with, like, an enchantment on the board, you know, before he even draws his 7 cards that just says, like, maybe it gives you, like, 8 turns to beat him or some shit like that. You know, like, whatever video game crap they can come up with.
Yeah.
That's how Duels of the Planeswalkers is. They have a lot of challenge mode stuff.
Right.
That don't necessarily just be like, all right, I'm going to draw my random 7. You draw your random 7 and we'll just play.
Well, I mean, I think that's, like, I definitely see the point for Duels of the Planeswalker, and it's good they have it because it draws new players in, like us. Like,
it's a video game.
It's definitely a video game. So,
not like Magic Online.
Yeah, so it's like the Xbox Store, you know, they have it on and, you know, everything else. And so I definitely agree that it shouldn't, you know, come to a point where they just meld Duels of the Planeswalker and Modo.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever... There's too much invested into Modo for players, like, money-wise, that they will never, ever...
I think they should
they
get
have
the...
to have that separation.
I feel like we're going into Magic talk right now. I think we are. Okay, so we are officially in Magic mode, and if you only listen for the video game talk, then stop listening now.
But yeah.
So I think they should just hire the guys who did Duels of the Planeswalker to do Modo.
I think they are the same people.
I'm pretty sure they are. I feel
what?
Like they are.
Yeah. No, I think they...
Well, I think the people that originally developed the beta, I think, was the ones that did Duels of the Planeswalker.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Duels of the Planeswalker used to suck when it first came out, so...
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to buy the new M15 Duels of the Planeswalker. Like, I didn't like the last year's one. Like, honestly, like, I played maybe 2 hours.
Really?
It's just different. Like,
I had like 70 hours, I think.
Yeah, I put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, I just really liked it, but, like, for some reason, for me, it just didn't click with me. Like, I love Magic, and I love, like, Modo and, like, playing Magic, but, like, for some reason, like, I felt it was too much of a game for me. Like, when I play when I play Magic, like, it's like
it's a little more serious than that.
I want to be more serious, like, more competitive, kind of like playing. But, like, the Duels of the Planeswalker is, like, fun for, like, a game. Like, you progress and do these things, and, like, that's what I wasn't really looking for.
Okay.
But, I mean, I might check out the new one because it has more ability to, like, mold your deck on how you want it. Because the other ones, like, you could, like, you had, like, a pool of, like, 20 cards. Like, oh, you can substitute with, like, this white deck. Like, I don't want this Screeching Hawk instead of, like, you know, such and such. Like, this one, I think it's a little more lenient on that. Like, you can get more customization.
Right. Now, I kind of like that about Duels of the Planeswalker because, I don't know if you guys ever get this feeling, but, like, when I'm, like, brewing or just playing Magic in general, whether it's on Modo or paper... Like, it strains my brain sometimes. Like, I feel like I'm using, like, my brain's all over the place, and I'm trying to you know, optimize the cards I have or try and find a replacement, or, you know, I get angry in a certain matchup. I like just kind of removing myself from that and being able to play it
just for
versus a computer and just kind of in a structured environment that I can slightly customize. Like, I like that aspect where I don't want to have to go on, like, you know, try jumping in the tournament room.
You don't want
to
be a tryhard?
Yeah, someone calling me a queer for fucking milling them out, you know. Like, I like just, oh, yeah, this almost pre-made zombie deck, you know, I can make a couple tweaks to it. It's kind of like net decking where, like, oh, you know, I'll take this deck, and then but I'll make my own little tweaks to it. Yeah,
put a little personal touch on it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so I like that little escape, but definitely I can't sit there and play it for hours.
I feel like it's a perfect game for, like, a tablet.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? I think that's more style to sit on the couch and just playing some Magic, like, real, just relaxing playing Magic. Not, like you said, wrecking your brain.
Yeah.
Fucking making it where you can't even put your fucking underwear on straight because you're thinking about Magic and your decks and shit like that. So I had, Duels of the Planeswalkers have, like, its normal little, like, mistakes and coding errors or whatever the fuck happened, where, like, an animation would happen, right, where this guy was, the computer, whatever, was going to do 5 damage to target player, right? And it has the animation of all this electricity and all this stuff flying towards me, but I countered the spell. So when I countered it, the electricity animation just stayed on for the rest of the game.
It's like, oh, it's countered. I'm just going to leave it here.
It's just like, wop, 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 wop. And it was just sitting there in the graveyard, and the animation, like, moved to the graveyard, so it was going from his graveyard to my player symbol for the rest of the game.
Nice.
I've had, like, a cup twice now, which happened last year, too, where I would do, like, a series of blocks where I knew it would be profitable for me, and then it just wasn't. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, look, and it was... It was something where I blocked with a 5/6 against this 2/2, and then both of our shit dies. And you just know, I'm looking at the graveyard, I'm like, I know that was just a regular creature. And for some reason, it just, like, went to the graveyards. I'm like, well, that doesn't fucking make any sense. What's going on here? So I'm sure that that could be one of two of those times. Could just be, like, me overseeing things or not seeing things right. But I know for sure, one yesterday and, like, one last year, I was like, that something's wrong. That's a glitch or something like that, because that didn't work out. It was too early in the game. There was no tricks. There was no nothing.
No death touch.
My mana was tapped out.
They were all tapped out.
I'm familiar with the creature. Yeah, whatever. Everything like that. I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know why the fuck I just died.
Yeah.
But there's just, like, little things that happen with that make me kind of laugh at it. But, yeah. You know, what are you going to do?
Did they ever bring back that sealed function? Because I remember, like, the last Planeswalker, like, they had the sealed, like, you could open, like, 3 packs or like, you know, 6 packs or whatever, and you build your own little.
And then once you win a match, you get another pack to throw in.
Yeah, like, I like that a lot.
Campaign is
yeah. I like that. That was probably the most. That I played that more than I played the actual regular playing the other, like, planes.
I have no idea. I haven't. I've only played the campaign.
Okay.
And that's it.
I've gotten, like, two planes in. So, like, I think I'm in, like, Ravnica or something. So I'm, like, halfway through or something, but.
Okay. Well, that'll be something. I'll look. I'm gonna buy it anyway. It's only, what, $10. So, but I mean, yeah, that was one thing I liked from last year's. That was the most fun for me.
I tried playing last year's the sealed. You can take your sealed deck online and challenge people. I went in, like, the little lobby or whatever and waited there for, like, hours. And,
yeah,
like,
nobody plays anymore.
Nobody. Well, this was, like, when the game was out and, like, nobody played their sealed deck against anybody. I was like, well, that's, like, the. For me, that's, like, the fun part is, like, building your own little creation within these certain parameters, kind of like what's the format when you play with all the commons?
Pauper.
Yeah. So, like, within these certain parameters, build your own little fucking creation and then pit it against people. Like, I like that, but nobody would want to play, so I just wreck people with my zombie deck and.
Yeah.
All a bunch of faggots.
Duels of the Planeswalker out on Steam now.
Yes.
$9.99.
Check it out. And you also get the free pack if you print out
the little promo thing.
Oh, yeah, promo.
Yeah. Last year they had a foil promo art scavenging news.
Oh, I got 4 of them.
For the promos? Well.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I bought them.
You bought them.
Too much when they were out, but I bought them anyways. And now they're not worth that much, but that's okay.
Yeah, so is everything.
I know.
14.
Yeah. I know.
Everything fucking tanked.
Well, Scavenging Ooze sees a lot of play in Modern, so yeah. It's gonna.
It might go up, but not nearly how much it was when it just was in the
community. Well, they have more than.
There's a lot of supply out.
I mean, back let's just say they probably had, let's say they had 5,000 cards or whatever. I have no idea what the numbers are, probably much more. 5,000 cards back in the day. Well, now they have an audience that's way bigger, so now they have 25,000 cards.
Yeah, they have to print more.
Yeah. But still, I love the fucking that promo art more than the regular art.
Yeah, I like it too.
Even I have a regular art foil Scavenging Ooze, but I still like the promo ones way better. Because it looks like a fucking ooze.
So, moving on from one category to the next, we are...
So, speaking of M15...
I'm going to walk away for the next 20 minutes. You guys go ahead and tear it up and let everyone know what you guys did, and I'll let you guys know that I was packing a suitcase.
So, me, Reich, Aquickness, and a bunch of our new Magic friends... They're friends that are new to Magic. We went to a pre-release over at Game Empire here in beautiful San Diego. And
fuck you, San Diego. go fuck yourself, San Diego. Dude, first time hearing that, I was like, what is this? I didn't know it was like this is what they did every episode or something.
Yeah, it's like their stick on heavy meta. Oh my god, so when we had the fires out here a little while ago, they were like trying not, they're like, this would be in poor taste if we said fuck yourself, San Diego. So they didn't say go fuck yourself, San Diego, but they went on to make like all these horrible like jokes, and then the outro music was like let this motherfucker burn or something like or burning down the house.
I know.
I thought it was hilarious.
That's awesome.
So we went to a pre-release.
This was last Saturday because we're.
Yes, this was the Saturday of the pre-release, so we didn't do it on. What was it? Friday? The pre-release started.
Yeah,
and then
made it the next day.
And then it did it like all weekend long. So we did it on Saturday. And why don't you tell them what you build there, right?
So we had the choice on the pre-release because you get a pre-release box set.
Correct. They're still doing the color choices.
Yeah, it's like a sealed deck, but you get one promo of your color of your choosing and one. It's a sealed pack, but it's not really a completely random sealed pack. It's just a kind of like a. I don't even know what you would call it.
Well, they call it a seeded pack.
A seeded pack,
and it's geared towards whatever color you pick. So it's not like it's going to have all... If you pick red, it's not going to have all red cards. It's not even going to have, like, the best red cards.
It might have one extra, like, decent red card in it.
Yeah, but it'll...
Doesn't it come with one rare red card?
It comes with the promo.
But doesn't it come with a second one also?
Yeah, it comes with a second rare, and usually it's on your color.
Yeah, yeah. But you can choose at the pre-release any of the colors, so red, green, black, white, or blue. And blue was the one that nobody took, which was hilarious.
Because
that was the worst one. So I ended up picking red with a lot of other people. I think red and black and green were like the go-to colors for most people there.
White was pretty...
White was pretty good.
White was really
but
good.
Blue was just like... When everyone was done, like, because they put everything on the counter like for people to take. And like when it was all said and done, there's just like... 8 stacks of like 10 boxes of the blue ones.
Yeah, nobody picked
blue. Nobody picked blue. I'm like, that's okay. But
why'd you pick what you picked?
Well, I picked red because I fucking wanted the dragon, Siege Dragon, because the art was pretty cool. And I wanted to, when I came in, this was bad, like I should have never did this, but when I came in the previous, I'm like, I want to play red and green. I'm going to play red and green. So I'm like, whatever I open up, like I'm playing red and green.
You're forcing it.
Yeah, I'm like, those are my colors. I feel comfortable in those colors. And like, I've looked at the spoilers, and I know, I'm like, just please, Pat Gods, give me good red and green. And so I picked red because I wanted the promo. I didn't really like the green promo, whatever, the Phyto Titan or whatever it is, even though that was a house. I ended up losing to that card. But anyways, I picked red, and I ended up getting my promo card, and my seated pack... I was hoping that I would get the soul of Chandelar, which is the red soul, whatever. The mythic soul. And, of course, I didn't get that. So I was like, well, okay. And the red card...
Did you get any soul in your seeded pack?
I got no souls.
Because a lot of people got souls in their seeded pack.
Yeah.
I, too, did not get a soul.
I think there's a higher chance to get a soul in the seeded pack.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
So I didn't get any soul, but I did get the red enchantment where you can enchant a creature and tap them. To do the power to a target player.
That's right. That was like a creature. 5-mana.
Yeah, which it was a pretty big bomb. That actually won me one game that I only got to play like once or twice, but it actually did win me a game. So I got that in my seeded pack, and then I proceeded to open my sealed packs, which the first two packs I opened, I got a bunch of just crap in like I got two waste knots. So the first pack I open, right, I get a waste knot. I'm like, sweet, okay, let's see if there's any black discards. Spells, and there's zero black discard spells in the waste knot pack. So I'm like, alright, well, I'm not playing waste knot. Second pack I open up, waste knot again. I'm like, alright, well, maybe there'll be some, like, one of the
mine rot?
The mine rots. I'm like, okay, if I get, like, maybe two or three mine rots, then, like, cool, I'll play waste knot. And no discard spells. So I'm like, alright, fuck, well, black's completely out of the picture because I've just got, just crap, like, I got one black cat or whatever it is. I'm like, alright, well, I'm not... Waste knot is just not doing anything for me, and I didn't get any, like, good, like, green or red cards, so I'm like, alright, just keep going, just keep going. So I opened my third pack, and I ended up getting, Call Courting. Court of Calling.
Call of Courting.
Call of Courting.
Court of Courting.
Court of Courting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Court of
Courting.
Yeah,
so,
like this.
Fly to the Concords.
Yeah, Fly to the Concords. So I open up my third pack, and I get, Fly to the Concords.
That's it from now on, sorry. Sorry, guys.
Well, like, they have the bird on the original one, right? But anyways, I get Court of Calling and no other good green cards. I picked up a few decent red, like the little goblin that attacks. It's a 1/1 for one red, and then whenever it attacks, you can pay a red, and a target creature can't block that combat. Which was a house, that fucking card. I wish I had like eight of them. But I ended up getting Court of Calling, which was another good card. I opened my fourth pack. I got some other crappy rare. I can't even think of its name. I think it was one of the white ones, the Kithkin Soldier, which was, I mean, what it wasn't that,
was
that crappy.
2/2 first strike and all that nonsense, right?
I think it's the one where if you attack, you can put another you can search your library for another soldier creature.
Right, and then bring him into the battlefield tap.
Yeah, attacking. But of course, I had no white soldiers, really.
Oh, geez.
I had no good white card. Like, I'm telling you right now, my sealed pool was just awful, just complete trash.
Yeah, bummer.
And then my fifth pack, what did I get? I got another, I think I got some kind of a bomb that I wanted to play, but it was, and I'm not playing it. But at the end of the story, I got like no good cards. Oh, my fifth and sixth pack, I got a foil. What's the pain land? The red white pain land.
Red white?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got red white pain land and foil. And then my last pack, I got another red white pain land, non foil. So I was like, well, I can't, in my card pool, I had no real good white spells to play, so I'm like, all right, I can't use these now. So I just pretty much just, like, all my rare slots were just wasted on this crap.
Ah, man.
Well, I mean, that just happens. I mean, it's a lot of rare. But I ended up putting together, I did do red-green, and I ended up putting together a decent red-green deck. I ended up going two wins, two losses against some good players. My first game, I ended up playing another red-green mirror, which he had way better cards, and just kind of just ran over me. I lost. I went 0-2 in that first game, and then the second game, I ended up winning. Third game, I ended up losing, and then the fourth game, I ended up winning. But the only card that I can really say that was like a house in my deck was
That thing is there's badass.
A green card. It's a 6/5. For 6 mana, it's 4 colors and 2 green. It's the Ancient Silverback, and its only ability is pay one green and regenerate Ancient Silverback. And this card is amazing and limited. It was literally the way to kill all their creatures off and the way to stop all their creatures. Like, I put this guy on the battlefield on like turn 6 or whatever, and literally it just stonewalls the other player. If they're all the ground creatures, it literally stonewalls them.
Did you leave it to block?
Yeah, like the first game that I played it on, I pretty much just had him as a blocker, so he couldn't attack in, and I was just getting in with my Siege Dragon. Like, I was able to get this guy out, and then the next turn I got my Siege Dragon out, and it was just pretty much game over.
Oh, yeah, that would be limited. Damn, that's pretty huge.
I had no, like, my red was so bad in my sealed. Like, I pulled no, I was hoping to get, like, some Lightning Strikes or some kind of red removal, because in this M15, a lot of the good removal's in red. I pulled no good removal. I pulled, like, 3 of the, 7 mana, do 5 damage to target creature, and destroy all equipment cards. The blast fire bolts or whatever, and like those were unplayable pretty much in my deck. So I played one of them, which I never got to see, and I never used it, and I just got run over by the, I got run over by the black promo.
The flyer.
The flyer, because I had no way to deal with the flyers. I'm like, just when I sat down,
you didn't have any lightning strikes.
I had no lightning. I had no removal. No black removal. No red removal. Like, no. I had the one white removal where it was a destroy creature with toughness 4 or exile or whatever.
Nah.
Like, I couldn't play it. Because just I had no white creature. I like out of all my cards, I had like 6 white cards that were maybe playable. So I was like, it was just bad times for my pool. But I ended up doing okay. I mean, I won one pack, going 2/2. But yeah, the Ancient Silverback was definitely a all-star, and the Frenzied Goblin, that 1-1 for one red. And I played a few bears. I played the Netcaster Spider, which was an actual really good card.
That looks like a good card to me.
The Netcaster Spider is the green card where it's a 2-3 for two colorless and one green, and it has reach.
Of course, all spiders.
But this spider, whenever you block a creature with flying, it gets +2/+0, so it turns into a 4-3. And this
4-3 for 3 mana?
He gave me trouble.
This card was the only thing that I had to fight off that demon, the black promo. I pulled the Elvish Mystic, which I was like, the fucking greatest card.
Yeah, slam!
I saw Elvish Mystic, I'm like, yep, going green!
Yeah, going green, guys! Got it!
But yeah, I mean, other than that, my deck wasn't all that great. I had a Charging Rhino. I pulled a Kurd Chieftain, which was really cool, because I was playing red-green. So this Kurd Chieftain is a 3-3 for 4 mana. It's 3 colorless and 1 red. But if you have a forest under your control, it gets a +1/+1, so it turns into a 4-4 for 4, which is nice. And then it has an upside where you can pay 5 mana, and you can give a target creature +2/+2 and trample until the end of turn, which I never really got to. As soon as I played him, he pretty much just died like that. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. But yeah, other than that, I had a lot of fun. It was a good pre-release. I got to check out a lot of the new cards. I didn't pull any crazy money cards except for Quarter Calling and then the foil Painland and then the two Waste Knots, which
was... What's the foil Painland? It's like $7?
The foil one was like $20, I think.
Oh, shit.
It'll probably go down.
It's going to go down.
Still, that's some... Get it out of here.
Yeah,
we'll have to see how red-white does. But, I mean, it's still cool. It's a land. I'm always happy to have dual lands. But other than that, I didn't pull any Planeswalkers, which was kind of like... I was hoping to get, like, a Nissa. I was like, oh, please. Please, Magic Gods, give me a Nissa. But it didn't happen. But, I mean, all in all, it was a good experience. That was actually my first pre-release. Because I've gone to, like, release days and stuff. But wait, that was the actual first time I went
to it. So you didn't get to go to the Journey one with
us. Yeah, I didn't get to go to
the Journey. And you went 2-2, right?
And I went 2-2. So it was definitely a good experience.
And so I ended up going 3-1. I picked black as my color of choice. Of course. And a lot of people were down on the black promo because it's a 5-3 flyer, and there is Lightning Bolt in the format, and then I think there's one or two other things that can really deal with it. But I'm a sucker for black, so I picked black. And as I opened my pool, I got the Soul of Theros, which is the white mythic.
That's pretty good.
And that thing's like a fucking boss and fucking limited.
I thought you said you didn't get a soul.
No, I didn't get it in my seeded pack.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get it in my seeded pack. But so I pulled that, but the rest of my white cards were just complete shit, complete and utter crap. And it reminded me of the last pre-release I went to where, like, my deck was, or my pool was really pulling me in all sorts of directions, except for black. Black was pretty good, so I just decided to stick with black also since I could play with the promo. So I had, like, a couple black cats, which when it dies, target opponent discards a random card, which is all right for, like, you know... I end up going black-blue because black I had, like, 16 playables in black, and I just needed something else to kind of give me some control and tempo, and I had just enough blue cards to give me that extra push to what I needed. And so, obviously black-blue is kind of controlling until the late game, so figured the black cats would be nice. They could block and then kind of get some cards.
I'm sure that pisses people off when things come out.
Oh, yeah, especially when, you know, they have a really good... When they have their 4-drop in their hand and they lose it on turn 2, you know, they're pretty upset about that. so a lot of my deck was, in traditional black fashion, it was taking life away from me. But I had some things in here to where I could, like, gain the life back. So it was kind of like fighting with myself, the up and down life total. So I had one Child of Night, which is 2/1 lifelink, so that kind of helped at least. In the early game, I could attack once or twice and then just have it be a blocker. I had Witch's Familiar, which is just a vanilla 2/3 for 3. I had two Coral Barriers, which is the 1/3 Defender. And when it enters the battlefield, put a 1/1 blue squid with Island Walk on the battlefield. So that I didn't really even play anybody with any islands, so I couldn't like benefit from the island walk. But it was just nice to have another defender if need be. I also had a Frostlynx, which dude put in work. So basically,
when that was like one of the best blue cards, Frostlynx.
Yeah, when he comes into play, you tap a creature opponent controls. It doesn't untap on their next untap step. So that was good just to be able to, like, you know, get another hit in with my Child of Night or, you know, whatever it was. And one of the, surprisingly, one of the all-stars of my deck was the Goryubai Murk Lurcher.
Goryubai Murk Lurcher.
The black guy?
Yeah, the blue black guy. He's a 1/3 for 3, and he gets +1/+1 as long as I control a swamp. And then the activated ability is 1 and a black, target creature gains lifelink till end of turn. So like I was saying, you know, with a lot of my cards, I was getting life taken away from me. So this was good to, like, you know, stay afloat in the early to mid game until I, you know, got all my threats online. And I also had the Necrogen Scudder, the 3/3 flyer. When it enters the battlefield, you lose 3 life. So it's a 3/3 flyer for 3 with a downside, but fucking black, you know, the 3/3 flyer for 3 is fucking huge.
You got 2 of them, that's totally playable.
Yeah, I had 2 of them, so like I had to play that just to be able to get some damage through. I also had an Accursed Spirit, which, of course, 3/2 for 4 with Intimidate. That was awesome.
If anything, take it out when you're playing black and throw something else in there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Sideboard it.
Also, this guy, he was alright, the Amphin Pathmage. He's a 3/2 for 4. Activated ability is 2 and a blue. Target creature can't be blocked this turn. I didn't have much need for him. I think I used his ability maybe in one game just to kind of close it out.
Yeah.
But another all-star, this card was a fucking house in my deck. It's the Rotfester Maggot. Maggot. It's a 3/5 for 5. So, eh. But when it enters the battlefield, exile target creature card from a graveyard. I gain life equal to that card's toughness. So that was huge in my, like, in my fight because, you know, I would take damage early or I'd be doing damage to myself. So that was huge. Just, you know, one comes out. I had 2 of them. So one of them comes out, you know, maybe I exile, like, a 2 toughness creature. And then this guy would die. And then I'd bring the other one out and then exile the first one and get 5 life. So that was huge. And then, of course, the promo, which is the 3/5 flyer. And at the beginning of upkeep,
the 5/3 flyer.
5/3.
Mama.
Beginning of your upkeep, draw a card unless target opponent sacrifices a creature or pays 3 life. Most people let me draw a card, which was just huge.
3 life in limited, that's pretty big.
Drawing a card in limited is pretty big.
Yeah.
Both of that's pretty big.
This guy was pretty much, if I got him out and I wasn't playing a red deck, like, they just could not deal with him. Because the red deck, obviously, most of them had Lightning Strike.
Yeah. That card was definitely probably the best promo that I at the pre-release, probably.
The upside was just so huge to the fact that there was, like, 1 or 2 cards that could just deal with it immediately. And most people weren't running them or didn't have them. So just to be able to have that 5-power flyer with also more upside was just fucking huge. And I decided to throw in a 9-mana spell.
You're an idiot.
9 mana.
Is that the
In Garruk's Wake.
Yeah.
Destroy all creatures you don't control and all planeswalkers
you don't
control.
So the question of the hour is,
fucked shit up.
I actually used it.
I used it twice. Oh my god, just saved my fucking ass.
I got blown out by that card playing against the guy. Like, I was winning. Like, I was well ahead. I like fucking all these creatures. Like, what are you gonna do, son? We're all like, you have like 4 life left. Oh, Garruk's Wake. Oh, fuck, I'll lose.
If you resolve this card, it's pretty much game over.
Okay, so this card reminds me of, there's another card that came out in M15 where it's a 5-mana instant in blue. Where you, basically it says target opponent puts all attacking creatures either on the top or bottom of their library.
Oh, right.
And so, like, it's down to that same thing where, like, you keep that in your hand and you just play your opponent. You know what I mean? Just draw them in and they fucking swing for game and you go, you just lost. Like, just yep. Like that. You know what I mean? You have your little dirtly little whatever over here and you just fucking Is it instant? You know
what I mean, no, it's sorcery, right?
It's a sorcery.
Yeah,
sorcery.
Yeah, yeah. But the other one, it's the same thing. It's just, but it's only five mana, and it's like it'll fucking change the whole game. Just like when you think you're gonna win, you just know for sure. I'm swinging for game right now. What do you got? You're gonna kill one of my creatures.
Is that the Aether spell you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that fucking
that thing fucking comes down, and you are done, son.
Because I don't expect. Because I'm like an aggressive player. I have you only have one guy on the board? I'm taking with everyone. Okay.
That or like the one that turns everything into a 1/1 frog.
All creatures,
a 3 mana one.
So I didn't. Same thing. I didn't have that much. I didn't have removal at all, basically, except for in Garruk's Wake. So this was my late game. Like, okay, I have like all my threats on the board, but you have better ones because I'm fucking blue black and you're fucking mono green or fucking whatever the case was. So this was just huge. Especially being able to draw the cards off of the black promo, I fairly reliably was able to draw it, if not use it as well.
I think it needs to be played in blue because you need to control the game to get there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely,
you know? So that's a good card that you're playing that. But if you're playing black and anything else, you're not going to get there.
Yeah, you can't be like a aggressive deck or like. Or maybe like a mid-range deck, but my deck I felt was like perfect to be able to take advantage of it because I didn't have a lot of high power creatures. So to be able to get through with the damage that I needed to get through to wipe their board was huge. And I also had a Phyrexian Revoker, which I wasn't able to like take advantage
of. That's the artifact guy, right?
It's an artifact, so it's two colorless, and it's a 2/1. Artifact creature. When it enters the battlefield, name a non-land card. Activated abilities of sources with the chosen name can't be activated.
It's huge, I think. For limited, I think it's a bomb.
Yeah, so it's like, nice soul, bro. Boom! You can't fucking
activate. I'm thinking like, well, I don't know. Like any even like little mana dork or some shit like that or whatever they bring out early game. Like, screw it. Like, there's that haste red guy, or that the red guy that you can tap it and then make two colorless and use it for a creature, it gains haste.
Yeah.
Like, now you can't activate that, and that's like, that would be a huge turning point in the game if some fucking guy could bring out a five mana creature on turn 3 unlimited or whatever.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, it was just good because, like I said, my deck was so slow and low toughness that it was like, oh, you have this amazing threat you're bringing out that has this badass activated ability. Well, you can't activate it.
No, you're right. The soul would probably be more relevant for what this
is. That's the only memorable thing I used for it was a soul of the white soul, soul of Theros.
He was pissed.
He was upset. And as for my non-creature spells, at the last minute, I threw in a Rogue's Gloves. It's an artifact equipment for two colorless, and equip is 2. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card.
It's like a Biden.
Yeah, I figured I had a Cursed Spirit and some flyers and a guy that taps down people, so I figured, you know, I could definitely draw some cards off it, and I'd put it on a flyer, and I'd get a card every single time. It was a huge help in controlling the game.
I think it's nice to see something, some kind of equipment, be relevant and limited.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be all that great, but like I said, I was struggling for playables, and that definitely, I'm glad I played that. That helped a lot. And like you mentioned earlier, I had a Turn to Frog. My other, like, somewhat removal, which was fucking huge. Like, they would bring out a bomb that I couldn't deal with, and then I just waited for him to swing in. And then, my black cat fucking just destroyed your fucking 7-mana bomb.
Yeah. And they have a version of that that's rare that does all creatures.
Really?
All creatures in opponent.
In M15?
In M15.
Wow.
Yep, same
that's
card.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, that was huge. And I also had a Mind Rot.
Mind Rot.
Like I said, short on kind of playables.
Should have been with some waste knot.
Oh, man.
Mind Rot traded.
Dude, this thing was overperformed for me every single time.
I got ruined by a Mind Rot.
Just because, you know, I'd wait. The whole thing with my deck is, like, I'd just wait for them to run out of gas, and then I'd take over. And so with this card, you know, it'd be turn 5, and I'd be like, Mind Rot, or, you know, turn 7 or whatever. And the most memorable play was I Mind Rotted somebody's Soul of Theros out of their hand, and it was just like, well, that's game right there. And I also had 2 Sign and Bloods, which is target player draws 2 cards and loses 2 life. Most of the time I use them on myself, but one time I did kill somebody with it for a game, and then I had a Divination. So I had lots and lots of card draw to be able to, you know, draw into my into my game winners or something, you know, something that I needed, especially with like Ingaruk's Wake, you know, being trying to get to 9 mana, you know, and needing to draw it or to draw lands was huge. But I did lose against a green black deck, which he mostly just had big fat green creatures. And what's that one? Not the Hornet's Nest, but the fucking
Hornet Queen.
Hornet Queen. That's the one when she comes out and bring out
four, like,
yeah, three or four. That thing letters. Shut me down. Yeah, was it 7 mana or something?
Yeah, that's a good one.
For
bomb,
a 2/2, but still it brings out all the fucking
death
1/1. Yeah, it's ridiculous. That is a really good card. But I had a bunch of fun. The shop we went to wasn't super like competitive and serious. It was just like everyone was having a good time.
Oh yeah.
And I got to like really hang out and get to know Reich's and Hot Sauce's friends, the newer Magic players. I haven't had a chance
to like those guys.
I don't like them either. One of them beat me, so I fucking hate
them. Bodies, so
they're just fodder. But it was cool to be able to get to know them and just joke around. And I won four packs. So I cracked one and got like that millstone fucking card, whatever it is, the clockwork fucking thing. And I'm saving the other ones for when we draft M15,
which is going to be later today.
Yeah,
I hope it's later today. That'd be fucking sweet.
What about is there any other cards that you guys saw when you were there that was like, oh yeah, this is going to be a big deal?
Hornet's Nest was a big against me.
Yeah,
for just being a
bot. You think it's like constructed playable?
Perhaps it might have a place in like a green.
Is Hornet's Nest, is that the 0/2 1?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 0/2. It's just like I don't know if it's Defender, but it's pretty much whenever it has damage dealt to it. So however much damage, so you say you deal 5 damage to it, you get 5 1/1 flying death touch wasps or whatever
hornets. Yeah. So that thing was huge, and then the other one, the 2/2 for 7 or 6 or fucking whatever, that brought 4 of them out. Like, just Death Touch. Death Touch Flyers. Like, that's fucking huge.
Yeah.
It reminds me how much of a pain in the dick that Viper was, whatever, that 1/2 Death Touch with Reach.
Oh, the,
what the hell is that guy called?
The Deadly Recluse?
Is that what it is? Yeah, that thing's, you know...
The green Doomblade?
You see it come out in Limited, you're like, oh, God, you dick.
Yeah. Or even, like, the Sedge Scorpions and shit.
Yeah.
Like, the 1/1.
Now I have to spend my removal on a fucking 2-drop.
Yeah, like, Jesus. Oh, I can't attack into that. But, yeah, there was that Hornet's Nest definitely shut me out of one of the games. Because I was like, I have a 6/3 or whatever, or 5/3. I'm like, I can't attack into that. Because if I attack into it with any of my creatures, you're just going to get more Death Touchers and I'm just going to die.
Yep.
You know what card was kind of good against me? Was that red enchantment that whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, you do 1 damage to it. That was good. I would forget about it, and then I'd swing in with my Child of Night. And he's like, oh, yeah, that dies, by the way. I'm like, fuck! How come I didn't see that?
Gotta read the cards.
That one toughness, let me tell you.
Yeah, but one toughness.
What a pain in the ass that card is.
One toughness looks like it's going to be really difficult in this format.
Yeah, Limited is like, it's really like all the good like green and red creatures are all like 3 toughness. So like everything will die to a lightning strike practically. But or like, what was that worm that you have? The black worm where it comes into play, you exile a creature card from the graveyard. Oh, the
3/5?
Yeah. Like, that stonewalled me too, because it was like, it had 5 toughness, and it had 3 power. So, like, all my guys were like, 3 toughness. So, I'm like, if I want to swing in, you just trade easily with that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, 5 toughness was huge in the format.
Yeah.
But, just be able to have a good blocker out.
Yeah, that was fun, though. I would definitely do another sealed. I probably do draft. I don't really like the sealed, because you can just get screwed so easily if you don't get good pools. But, like, I think one of the kids, like, there was a 9-year-old kid that was playing there, and he pulled a Garouk and a Nissa, I think.
Dude, we didn't jack him as soon as he left?
That was one of our buddies, Dan, played his first game, was against him, and he lost, and he was furious the whole night. Yeah. He would not stop complaining about losing to this kid the whole night. And
how old is the kid?
He was, like, 9.
Oh, my God.
Or younger.
That's awesome.
But it was awesome. Like, he was cool, but it's, like, it was so funny, because he was just fuming the whole night that he lost to this 9-year-old.
If I had known Dan better, I would have been giving him so much shit. And like, I was like my first time meeting him, so I'm like, I can't just like rail into him, you know.
And so the day after the pre-release, we actually had a barbecue, and everyone was there, and he was still the first thing. I walked into the barbecue, and the first thing he said, I was like, "Hey Dan, how you feeling? Are you still mad about that kid?" And he's like, "Oh, don't even get me started on that, you know."
Are you
cheating, man? But it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, that was our pre-release experience, which was really nice. And I'm honestly going to say M15 is the bee's knees.
Yeah, I just got a new job, so I'm going to be drafting the shit out of it on Moto. Super excited.
I'm excited to draft in person.
I'm excited to draft in person just too.
Everything.
Fucking three-person draft right now.
Right now. That's it.
Oh man, but yeah. So
let's just do a sealed. Fuck it. We'll go three-player sealed. We'll just keep playing three. We'll play like three games. We'll just do a sealed.
Oh man. So yeah, I mean that was fun. I think there's a new Commander going to be coming out fairly shortly. Commander 2014. I heard they're Mark Rosewater, which is I think one of the lead development guys. At Wizards of the Coast, kind of spoiled on his blog that, you know, there will be actual decks like last year.
Yeah, didn't they say like they're going to be coming out with them every year? But they kind of like alluded to it.
Yeah, I think they're going to like have some kind of like Commander product, but I don't think they said it was going to specifically be like decks, like full built decks every year. But they will have some kind of Commander product that people will be able to buy. But I think this year they confirmed that it's going to be an actual. Hold on.
Keep talking.
It's gonna actually be an actual deck, which is cool because I didn't last year for the 2013 Commander set. I wasn't able to buy.
Luckily we had an extra quickness bot two sets.
So yeah, two of those sets.
We were able to meet up. We were able to play each other.
Yeah, we were able to play Commander, but I wasn't personally able to pick up one because by the time I was able to do it, like all the good ones are gone, or like you guys had already bought enough, so I didn't really need to go out of my way to get one. But I think this year I'm definitely going to go ahead and pick one up. Just to have, because I don't have any of the cool Commander lands.
You get the staples.
Like, yeah, and hopefully they'll have like Soul Ring and stuff like that.
I'm sure they will. That's in every staples. Deck, basically.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And then I think this week is Comic-Con week here in San Diego.
Oh man, which means it's great, but it's also awesome. Means there's going to be like traffic.
Yeah.
You can't like do anything. Because all the fucking businesses are
like, everything's
going to
be
people.
Crazy. Like, because I work downtown San Diego, and last year was crazy because like my parking garage that I park at was just filled with people just parking. Even though it was like 7 blocks away from the convention center, and it's like people were parking there, and just like people all over the streets. It was just craziness.
But the cosplayers.
But the cosplayers, yeah. I just want to go down to the Comic-Con just to check out all the cosplayers because there's actually some really good.
Dude, people are crazy nowadays. They are really stepping up their game and spending a lot of time, a lot of money and effort.
Like this is like cosplayers. Yeah, this is the mecca for people.
It
like,
is
that does that.
It is.
It's like they put all their time and energy into like their outfits or whatever just for this one event. Like they'll go to other ones like on the East Coast or whatever, but like this is like the end all be all for the comic genre, the game genre, like that kind of thing where the general public can attend.
Right. I feel like there are other cities that are like real big into it, but yeah, they all have to meet here for that, for this one event.
Yeah, so it's Comic-Con week, which I'm looking forward to because there is going to be a panel, a Magic the Gathering or Wizard of the Coast panel, which hopefully they'll be able to spoil some of the Khans of Takir stuff that's going to be coming out or what exactly, like kind of a little mystery, like, They had said like they're gonna bring back something old and something new, so maybe we'll get like a little snippet of like what old they're bringing back. Fetch lands, excuse me.
We want to hope so, yeah.
But
some kind of there's gonna be some land, so I am curious to know what the hell's going to
happen. I hope they throw us a bone like for that kind of stuff, or like some good more good reprints because like M15 they did good reprints. They've got like the Tomb of Ungumbamba or whatever it is, which is really
swamp
cool,
one, right?
Yeah, the swamp one, and they like swamp reprinted Court of Calling, which I'm fucking stoked about because I really want to build a pod deck. But yeah, I hope they do something like some good. Either they do Shocklands or they reprint some other good like modern staples, like you know crazy stuff, like some Tarmogoyfs, right? Because they can totally do that.
You would really hope. Well, they just came out with Masters, though. Damn it, it ain't gonna happen.
But
it's
yeah,
okay.
The other big news about Comic-Con is they're actually last year they did a 2014 Planeswalker set, which was a special promotion, a set of all the Planeswalkers that came out in Magic 2014, but they had a kind of Comic-Con styling black-on-black foil art, which was really big.
A little splash of whatever color they were, but otherwise it was all like a matte black with like a foil black.
Yeah, and they had like, so like Liliana had like some cool like purple highlights and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was amazingly cool looking. I thought they were awesome. It was a really big like issue with the way that they handled it, though, because I think they sold out like on day two of Comic-Con, and a lot of people that really wanted them that waited in line to like reserve like a set like got a ticket, but then ended up not being able to get it because people were buying like two or three at a time. Like they were like letting people just buy as many as they want, or like having people like trade like, okay, I'll buy two of these Star Wars things if you buy two of those magic things.
Right.
Like, we'll just trade. Like, because you can only get, like, two of each one. Like, so people were able to, like buy, like, four sets of different things and, like, end up trading so that they ended up walking away with, like, four boxes of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
Which was kind of, like, really bad. Because, like, a lot of the people that flip them, like, the whole, like, the non-collectors that just buy it just to sell it on eBay, like, that day, just to make money. Which,
they made a fucking killing.
Which they made a killing. And, like, they're still up there in price. But I think it's going to be another one of those, like, things where people are just going to go crazy over them. And,
especially because this is, like, there's three new Planeswalkers.
Yeah, they have Nissa, they have Garruk, they have I think Liliana's still in it, Jace.
Yeah, there's six total. They're not even five.
There's six, yeah.
But there's three new ones, so just to have three new, like, special black-on-black ones. Because other ones were just, like... all reprints except for Chandra, right?
Yeah, Chandra was the new one.
Garruk, right?
No.
Garruk was a new one.
Oh, that was a new Garruk, right?
Yeah, on the 2014 set, yeah. But I mean, this one, it comes with a Nerf axe, Garruk's axe, which is kind of cool, like gimmicky. But like, I really want to get those the promo, the black on black ones, because I was one of the lucky few to get the 2014 black on black set for retail. Off the Hasbro toy shop.
Mr. Reich, he was very, very smart and attentive to the website and fucking got a set.
Yeah, I pretty much... Avoided
Comic-Con, still paid the $60, and got a set delivered to his house.
So I was lucky. They probably had like a couple hundred on the website to sell, and I was lucky enough to be able to get one.
And they were like sold out like a minute after
literally,
it went up.
Literally, it went up, and I did my like sign in real quick, did my PayPal, checked out, went back to see, and it already sold out. Like, literally, it was, like, 10 seconds to complete my transaction, and then by the time I clicked back to see how many were left, they were all sold out.
That's awesome. And so that set sold for $60. Right away, the next day, it was basically about $550 for the set. $500 to $550 is what I saw.
Yeah, they spiked up to, like, $600, $700 at one point.
Yeah.
And now they're back down to, like, $500.
But even today on Amazon, I see them for sale for, like, $850.
Yeah.
And I saw sold listings on eBay saying, like, recently sold for, I think, about $600.
Yeah.
It's, like, recently sold. So, I mean, $600 for something you paid $60 for, and you didn't have to wait in line. I mean, once again, you're one of the only few, but still. Yeah,
very lucky.
We would hope to repeat this again
this year. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to attend Comic-Con this year, because we tried to get our tickets, my wife and I, but they were sold out by the time I woke up, since I didn't wake up early enough.
Is she mad?
She was a little miffed.
A little miffed.
Because like, I was like, oh yeah, I'll get up early and do it. And then I end up just sleeping through my alarm and not able to do it. But I mean, I'm going to try to get it off the website again. I probably won't be able to luck out this time, but you never know. Because I just want it for my collection. I'm not going to sell it.
Of course.
Like, I bought it for me. Like, I don't care if it goes up to like $1,000, whatever. Like, I want it because I think they're awesome and I want it for my collection. But I don't think I'll be able, for this new set, I don't think I'll pay the retail, or I mean the aftermarket, the second market fee, because it's going to be crazy expensive. Like,
yeah,
even though I have the first set, like, I don't think I can stomach paying like $500-$600 for
it's $110 this year because of the extra Planeswalker and the little Nerf axe from Garruk. But I do see the price going up to near $1,000.
I just hope they handle it better than the last year's. Like, they said they're going to have more supply. Like, they'll have a more supply. But I hope, they're going to limit to one person. And supposedly they have a larger supply this year. But I hope they don't just bone it up. And I hope people that actually really want them, that attend Comic-Con, can actually get a chance to get them. Because I think that was the biggest thing on, like, the inner tubes, is, like, people were really mad that they went through all this trouble to get it. And then they weren't able to get it because they sold out by, like, the second day or the first day. Which was kind of crazy.
Kind of crazy, but I'm excited, man.
I'm excited about it. Like, a lot of people, it may not be their thing, like the collector thing or like the art thing, but I really, really like the art style. on these ones. But so, that's Comic-Con this year, and there could be other shit there, but...
Announcements, fun stuff.
So, I was curious, because, I mean, I've looked through the M15 spoilers. Like, not obsessively, but I've looked at the mythics and rares, mostly. Do you guys see any of these cards really impacting, like, the current...
The meta right now?
Yeah, the meta. Like, anything that's gonna replace something or anything that's gonna really fit in. Like, let's just look at this next three-month period before rotation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what is really gonna, like, help out certain decks?
Honestly, I'm more of, a spike player, kind of like a quickness, where I take, the deck and I like to play them. Like, I don't... Say, like, I'm not like
he's not a brewer,
I'm not like a level one tier one brewer like some other people's, but I think Court of Calling has a good place in standard, just because it's just the fact that you can flash in a creature of your choosing with a devotion deck or something like that. But I still think mono black's gonna be like numero top supremo tier. I don't know if red-green monsters is really going to take anything away from this, for the Jund monsters.
I think I like that Generator Servant that I mentioned earlier, the 2/1 sacrifice. Add 2 colorless mana to your pool if that mana is spent on a creature, it gains haste.
Yeah.
I think that that bringing it out with haste, you know what I mean? Bringing out a Polyphernos with haste.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
I think it's pretty huge. So I don't know if it's going to see it, but I can see that it would be better... if it was a more aggressive strategy, if it had a little more aggression to it, then this would be a better card than, say, the 03 fucking guy, whatever.
Do you think mono green is gonna see any play?
I think it's gonna have a little it's gonna burst out there real quick because people want to play with it and play with Nissa. But I think in the long haul, I don't think it has this it doesn't have the sustainability as mono black or some other.
It almost seems deck. Like.
After rotation, maybe there's just
maybe after gas. Rotation, yeah.
They oh, might, you think so? I was thinking it might go away.
Oh, man, I don't know. After it could be anyone's game after rotation. But I think for right now,
it looks like mono green might even just take over red green monsters. Sadly enough, just because they've been getting a lot of good utility.
Yeah, I mean
creatures.
Well, the only reason you play red green monsters is for Domri and the dragon and Stormbreath. Really, yeah. Other than that, because
the Colonian Twin Grove for mono green, that thing's fucking huge. Its power and toughness are equal to the number of forces you control, and you bring out a token that's the same thing.
Yeah,
that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Nissa's really a bomb. I mean, I think Nissa's probably one of the better planeswalkers. I haven't seen Grook in action yet. Too much. It's just
you will.
It's really heavily costed, but I think it's still playable. Even though it's 7 mana, Elspeth is 6 mana. So, what's one more mana for a group, but it still, it does something, it protects itself when it comes out, and it can kill, anything when it comes out.
Well, it's like the answer to Elspeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally. Nice Elspeth, next turn, it's dead.
And I get a +1 counter.
Yeah, nice fucking 1/1s.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's group's really cool, but I don't know if it has a place in, the black-green, devotion or enchantments deck.
Well, I was thinking about building a black-green deck, and, it's gonna have to be, a rampy sort of deck, you know, just to be able to get up to Garouk and maybe even Vraska or something like that.
Yeah, I think if anyone plays green in this format now, we're going to be playing, it's automatic 4 of the Sylvan Caratids and the Corsair Crufixes.
Yeah, I'm really pissed I don't have those because...
Those are automatic 4 of.
Yeah, I have 1 Corsair and 2 Caratids or something.
But yeah, I think black-green is probably better off than Jund and stuff, just because they have so much good removal and discard. Thoughtseize is just warps the format completely until it's not going away anytime soon.
The discard deck is going to be a thing for sure. I mean,
Waste Not might see some play. I don't know if it's going to be. It'll be a tier 2 deck maybe. I don't think it's going to. I think from what I've seen so far, in my opinion, the metagame that we have now, it's not going to shake up too much from the M15 cards. There might be some sideboarding cards and people maybe play some the pain lands. To fix up their mana base, but
pain lands for sure. That's we saw that.
Coming but format defining cards, I don't really. So far, I haven't personally seen or thought of any of the M15 cards. It's I'm gonna include 4 of this, and it's just gonna completely ruin everybody.
Right. Well, me and Quickness were talking about my discard deck, and he was because I want to put the Master of the Feast in there where they draw a card, and he was like, oh, well, what if they draw into their removal? When they draw the card off of Master of the Feast. And it's kind of the same thing with my mill deck. It's a iffy strategy because when you mill somebody, you might mill them right into what they need to beat you. You know, so like you might mill away all their lands, and they already have like 7 lands, and you might mill them right into their bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, it's like a 50-50 kind of risk thing, like especially with the discard.
I think your Waste Not deck is going to be like a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun.
Or the opposite of that.
I think it like
or unfun.
Yeah, well, unfun for you guys, but I think Reich was right. It's going to be like a tier 2 deck. You know, I still have some changes to make, but
yeah,
I don't think like you said, there's not going to be any like format defining.
If Ravnica decks. Never happened, like the Ravnica block never happened, like it would be completely like M15 would have changed like a lot of things. But just because like Supreme Verdict and Sphinx's Revelation and like all those good you know black removal stuff is like is still in the format, like it's not going to change too much because like already those cards take up like 80% of most decks, like the Ravnica cards. That even like if you're already fighting for good like tier 1 playables to like supplement with your other, you know, your other stuff. But
do you think any of the souls are gonna see
maybe
constructed?
I think they're too expensive. I really like the idea of the red soul just being able to like pay that mana and just like burn somebody for that like what 6 mana or whatever it is. It's really cool, but I think they're really just too slow. But they're, I mean, awesome bombs and limited, but I think
if anything it'd be the Soul of Theros.
Theros is really good, yeah.
Because it's like the turn after you play the Soul of Theros, all your creatures get +2/+2 and gain first strike and lifelink until end of turn.
Yeah.
Like that, there's no way you're outracing that card.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good card, but I mean, it's really hard to say cuz it's just, I mean, I haven't seen anything. But I mean, I'm not like a tier 1 deck builder, so I really have, like, my opinion doesn't really mean anything, but,
okay,
you know, but it's just, I feel like Ravnica is just such a strong presence in Standard that it's not, we're not going to see any shakeup until it goes away. I mean, obviously it's going to be crazy shakeup once stuff rotates out, but I mean, it's like, the Ravnica block is so oppressive in Standard right now that it's just, we can't see anything change until it goes away.
I see that.
Okay, so
no, that's a bad thing. It's just the way it is.
I could bring up one thing, and this is something that's just kind of been going around. I'm sure, like all the other podcasts and all this stuff like that, is the idea of an artifact deck utilizing the what is it like the Scuttling Doom Engine and like the whole get him in for 6 and then use that. What the hell is it? Is the instant the shrapnel blast?
Shrapnel blast to kill him off and do like 11 damage that turn.
Right. So I've seen a couple nice builds on Tapped Out
mm-hmm.
where they would be using, I mean, like the Ornithopters, like mm-hmm. 4 of, you know, to get out the little the little enchantment, or I'm sorry, little artifacts. All the artifacts that are the indestructible land, all the cheap whatever stuff, and then bringing out 4 of the shrapnel blasts, 4 of the ensoul artifacts, which turn an artifact into, for 2 mana, it turns it into a 5/5. Well, that's only the base power. I'm not sure if you can, does it stack up?
No, well, you can, I think you can enchant it and give it, like, +2/+2, but I think, well, if you put it on, like, a Scuttling Doom Engine.
It doesn't make it an 11. It just
makes it a 5/5. It goes to a 5/5.
Okay. So you have that, though. But still, you can make in your indestructible land a 5/5 for 2 mana.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That could seriously happen on turn 2.
Yeah.
And there's just a few other cards that are in this deck that really, really seem to, seem to really have a lot of synergy.
I think deck could be a thing. I think Slivers is more of a thing.
But only for 3 months, though, because...
Yeah, for 3 months, because, like, all the decent slivers are in 24.
This artifact thing, though, is going to stay.
Artifact thing
this
be
is,
around.
Like, post-rotation stuff. Another card, Chief Engineer, artifact spells you cast have Convoke.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way. It's a 2-mana spell for a 1/3 creature, and now everything is, like, real cheap, you know? So that's a way... Bring that guy out as your ramp creature, basically, you know what I mean? To get to the big stuff, and then you can swing in for game... Swing in with whatever creature you can bring out, and then you can go ahead and sacrifice it with Shrapnel Blast and do an extra 5 damage. I feel that could be a cool aggro strategy, like throwing back to like the Affinity and all that stuff was in Modern. I think this is a nice, fresh idea, and it's completely different than what it has been.
Yeah. Well, I was playtesting on Cockatrice with Quickness a couple days ago, and he built an artifact deck with like a green-blue, I think green-blue-red, artifact deck, and I did a green-red artifact deck, but I think his was better because he had that Chief Engineer, which allowed the convoke to occur so he can get out the generate service.
Right.
I was playing, like, Burning Tree Emissaries, Nykthos, Generator Servants, just to try to ramp my stuff and like all the ramp creatures. But he was able to get his out quicker than mine with the Convoke, which was like awesome. Convoke's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out a Convoke / Inspired deck.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not, like, too many good...
The thing is, Inspire, though, yeah, there wasn't that many good. Like, Inspire was a cool mechanic, but there just wasn't enough of it.
I wouldn't even call it a cool mechanic.
But, like...
Yeah.
It was a unique mechanic.
Yeah, so that. I think, like, the black ones are the best. Just the King Makar and...
What's the other servant guy? Where he untaps you.
Wannabe Bob.
He does another damage to you. Oh, the Painseer?
Painseer and King Makar.
What's the other guy? Right, though? It's like a common card where every time he untaps, he does like 2 damage or 1 damage to target.
Oh, player. Yeah. The Timurit Servant.
Timurit Servant. That's the guy's, okay. That guy's a house for common or whatever he is.
So, I don't know. I was trying to think. I want to build a Golgari deck, green-black, and I was thinking of like trying to... do like some Convoke cards with Painseer and King Makar, but like if you're running Painseer, you have to have a low mana cost deck, and like that's not going to be a low mana cost deck. So I just think Painseer has to stay in like an aggro low curve strategy.
Oh yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it might see play after rotation. You never know what's out there, what's coming. I'm really excited to see what's in Concept Secure, because I'm already over the standard, like because Ravnica just. Pooping on me, and then Ravnica and the M14 black green hater, the what's that zombie, Lifebane zombie, good old Lifebane zombie, just
boy.
Crapping on my fun. But yeah, I mean, I think Convoke is definitely going to be a thing, just for even just the quarter calling. It's just a powerful card. But, yeah, I think we should do some, a little bit of noobs knowledge.
Noobs knowledge!
Oh, yeah. Lay down the knowledge for the noobs. So I think today we're going to talk about how to build a mid-range deck, or what consists of a mid-range deck.
Yes. Why don't you hop right into it, Hot Sauce, what a mid-range deck is?
I don't know. I don't even know what are you talking about. I've never played a deck before in my life. I don't know. It's got ones and twos and threes and fours and fives. And not just ones and twos.
You are a smart man.
That right? is exactly what it is. Aggro is all ones, twos, and threes. This one has fours, fives, and sixes. So you're trying to... A lot of strategies are trying to play their one and two drop and three drop creatures to ramp into their win conditions. That, you know, like the green strategy, green, red, whatever else, having the the Kruphix and the Caryatid and the Elfish Mystic and all that stuff. And normally, if you were to bring out a 1-1 Elfish Mystic with an aggro strategy or some other kind of strategy, that would just be a fall flat card because it wouldn't get you anywhere. Like, that ramp doesn't matter when you're bringing out. Your next turn is going to be a 2-drop anyways. So mid-range deck's going to have win conditions at the top end and ways to get there for the rest of it. I see a lot of times, whether it be through controlling the board or through ramping into it quicker or whatever else. But there's you're going to get to a card or two that's going to be like, all right, this is going to win me the game, hopefully. Like, say, Blood Baron of Viscopa or Obsidat or Elspeth or these win conditions, you know. So
mid-range, basically, it's not super aggressive. It's not going to do 10 damage on turn 3. But the meat of its cards and the way it's going to interact and win the game is in the, 3 to 5 drop slot. Like, that's its bread and butter right there.
That's his power band.
Yeah, if you let a mid-range deck, like, let's say I have an aggro deck with a lot of removal, and you just have a creature-based mid-range deck. If I allow you to to get a couple of your big creatures out on the board, I can't attack profitably, and you just take over the game unless I can remove them.
Right, they have either evasion that can get over your creatures or whatever. They have maybe they could be something like turning a god on to be indestructibles, you know, or something like that, or have protection from a certain color that would just slow you down too, you know, once they get there, and it has one or two little abilities or whatever else that'll really just put a stop to whatever card strategy you had, whatever the other deck strategy.
So, like, what mid-range deck have you built? Like, what would you say is your most mid-rangey type deck?
Like, big creature
monsters. Whenever I build, I like the Simic stuff, the green-blue, and that has a lot of mid-range stuff where it has cards that you, when you read them, you go, damn, that sounds amazing, but how the hell am I going to get there? You know, you can't, when you're a new player, you want to play all these bombs, but how the fuck are you going to get there? You know what I mean? You're gonna be dead by the turn you bring it out, or you bring it out and then you're like, oh cool, I got this 6/6 with all these abilities, but on the swing back I die. You know, like when it goes to his turn, I know that I'm not gonna survive.
Right.
So that can happen. So I have two that I can really talk about, but the Simic one that I have has the same kind of Mystic and Caryatid and Courser and all that main stuff to get me there. But what I'm trying to get into is, like, Master Biomancer, which each other creature you control enters the battlefield with a number of additional 1/1 counters on it equal to Master Biomancer's power, and as a mutant in addition to other types, whatever. But that card reads great, but you have to be able to get there, and you have to keep it alive. So I'm playing a bunch of dirtly stuff that is not going to really bring my opponent's life total down very much at all. But if I can get this guy out and start playing anything on top of it, then I can take over the board. And so I have to wait. I have to take over the board later. I have cards like Scavenging Ooze to keep my life total up. I have cards like the Simic Charm to give my permanence hexproof. Things that are not going to get their life total down really any faster, but can keep me alive until I can bring out my big shit. And later game also, I have like Prime Speaker Zagana, which it's a 6-mana card. It's like 2 green and 2 blue and 2 colorless and way too fucking hard to cast. When it does come out, it enters the battlefield with X11 counters on it, where X is the greatest number, greatest power among the other creatures you control. When it enters the battlefield, draw cards equal to its power. So it comes out as a 1/1, and you just add on Plucranosis power to it, makes it a 6/6, and I draw 6 cards. So if I can get there, then I want to hope that I can win the game. But if I can't get there, you know, if I don't have other cards, permanent spells to protect my life total and kind of pillow it all down, then I'll just never get there, and I'll lose my ass off. So
right.
But otherwise, I'll let you guys take a little round with some talks, but I can get onto like the Newt deck too. The Festering Newt deck's also a mid-range deck, so.
Yeah, I think the Newts is more like combo-y. You know, it is mid-range because that's where most of your magic happens, but I think it would be more considered like a combo deck, and it's a pain-in-the-ass combo deck.
Oh, yeah. Big pain in the ass.
But I definitely like to build mid-range decks. That's where when I brew stuff, it's usually mid range.
Definitely the most fun, I think. You get to get a wider span of cards.
Right.
You're not just picking cards in an aggro strategy where
they're most efficient.
You're like, I don't even care what this card says. But this card is just the only 2/1 for one, so I have to play it. There is no thinking. You're just looking at all. You can go to
very efficient.
Yeah, you can go to whatever site you're going to look up cards at, and you can just search for 1-mana creatures with 2/2 power. And I'm just going to play all of those because that's going to be the most efficient for an aggro strategy. When you're playing mid-range, you have flexibility. You can play whatever cards you want to. Knife built this deck.
Oh, it's the Germans!
Is this Dukas? Knife built this deck that was basically like... What do you want to call it? Like the red, green, black strategy? What the hell is it called?
Oh, the Jund.
The Jund, yeah. It's like a Jund. But because it's mid-range, he has a little bit of flexibility for a few cards, and he threw in some special card to take place of like a 2 Plucranosis or whatever you did. What did you do? What'd you take place of?
Plucranosis.
4-mana slot?
No, the card I'm talking about is the one that...
The one that I built it around?
Yeah, you built it around.
Oh, the...
And that's the thing, is that there's probably more efficient creatures
for it. The Hound.
The Hound.
What the fuck is the Hound called?
Oh. Underworld Cerberus.
Underworld Cerberus, right. Yeah, there's definitely better, what do you call it? You know, people don't play that card. You know, there's better cards to play in that spot.
There's more efficient 4-mana or 5-mana cards. Or
yeah, exactly, that can do
for
special tricks
or
whatever. But that card is just, it can't be blocked except by 2 or more creatures.
3 or more creatures.
3 or more creatures. And it just beats the hell down. And that's like what... like mid-range wants to do when it gets there. It wants to just start beating down. And I think, like, out of any, like, I like to build mid-range, but if we're talking about mid-range, I think Reich holds the title of the best mid-range deck out of all of us with his red-green monsters. So I would say you are the expert, so take the reins and kind of explain what your deck does and what makes it mid-range.
Yeah. As the resident mid-range expert, I would like to conclude that this this definition of mid-range is good. I'm trying to sound smart. But no.
I concur.
Mid-range, literally, in my definition, is ramp. Well, in the you have to look at it, because like mid-range could be something different in another set that it does in this set we're talking about right now.
Like, well, there's like a bunch of different types of mid-range.
Like control in Theros block, like this standard is maybe different than control of yesteryear.
Right.
Because just the way the cards work that we have, it's just different. But the mid-range that we have right now in standard is more like, because we're playing what they call Battlecruiser Magic, where we have a lot of like 4-mana 5/5s or 5-mana 6/6s, like, you know, cards that are really good for our set right now, but like back then would have been like completely broken.
Right.
Like you were playing like back a couple years ago, like a 2-mana was like a 1/2 or something, like, you know, or like a 1/1 for 2-mana, you know, something like
2/2 for 4-mana was like the shit.
Like you're getting like a 5-power.
4-mana.
Yeah.
Remember we opened that pack during the Chaos Draft? There's so many like 2/2s for 4.
Exactly. So like 4-mana would only buy you like so much back then, but now it's like we're at the point where the power creep is like real. And it's here, and it's happening, and it's great, and I love it. But so essentially, my definition of mid range is definitely you have your core base of mana ramp, because you need, you like Hossas was saying, you need that acceleration. You need to be able to get from that early point into the late point as soon as possible.
So you have like a ramp mid range.
Yeah. So I mean, most mid range now, like the effective mid range, in my opinion, are all including ramp. Like if you don't have ramp, then you can't get to where you need to be. As fast as you need it to be.
And you, and your deck is mostly like creatures, right? You don't have a lot of spells.
My red green monsters, it's kind of like the pinnacle of what they call mid-range monsters deck or whatever, mid-range decks. And it consists of a base of 4 Elvish Mystics for your 1 drops, 4 Sylvian Caryatids for your 2 drops, and 4 Courser of Kruphix for your 3 drops. And these all, on their own, help you to ramp up into the big Battlecruiser cards like Pelucranos, like Stormbreath Dragon, even enabling you to play cards like Goreclan Rampager, and just go off with Planeswalker strategy, like being able to get out on turn 2 a Domri Raid is amazing. It's like crazy. Just having the ability to get them out and get extra card advantage by turn 2 or 3 is crazy. And having Xenagos as your card generator strategy for, you know, just getting guys out there.
Yeah,
as
2/2 of haste.
Yeah, it's the main meat and potatoes of the deck for actually winning is Pelucranos and Stormbreath Dragon. And then
being able to cast those on turn 3 and 4
uh-huh.
is what makes your deck so hard to fucking deal with.
Here's another card, though, that I feel that is necessary, and it would not be played without the ramp, is Mizzium Mortars.
Yeah, Mizzium Mortars
is a house. To overload Mizzium Mortars, it's 3 red and 3 colorless. How the fuck are you going to get to 6 mana mm-hmm. to wipe out their board? You know, you have to have the ramp. And then you can bring out, you have your Pelucranos and whatever else, it's just a ground guy, and it can't do a whole lot to get around stuff. Boom, Mizzium Mortars, wipe out their board, going for game.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many Mizziums do you play?
I play 2 Mizzium. So the creatures deck, the mid-range creatures deck, it's pretty much consists around all creatures. Because you're playing Domri Raid, and you want as many creatures in your deck to be able to get his +1 ability to activate. Because if you're playing, you know, like, only 12 creatures or something like that, you know, a small amount of creatures and more, mainly spells, then you're never going to really get Domri's full potential.
Right.
Because your chances are you're going to be hitting a non-creature spell more often than an actual creature spell.
So in lieu of having removal in your deck, it's more like you just want to ramp into getting a bunch of fatties on the board.
Yeah, your whole strategy is getting the fatties out there as quick as possible and getting in for that amount of damage as fast as possible.
So okay, you listed your mana ramp. So how many, like, actual monsters do you have?
So I run 4 Pelucranoses, which are probably the backbone of the deck. Just even though they're legendary creatures, just having one out on the board and having the extra mana to be able to monstrous them, which monstrous is an amazing ability in this deck, and then 4 Stormbreath Dragons. So that's pretty much the backbone of the deck. We have utility cards like Goreclan Rampager, which is a good pump spell with the Blood Rush, giving everyone +4/+4 and trample. But it also, if you're light on creatures, you can play them as a 4-mana 4/4 with trample as an actual creature, which those are pretty much the 3 different cards that are like the bread and butter of the red-green mid-range.
You don't have anything higher than Stormbreath, right?
Stormbreath is the topper. We don't go higher than that.
Tops.
But, I mean, this deck really, if it didn't have Elvish Mystic, if we didn't have Sylvan Caryatid, if we didn't have Corset Crucifix, it really would fall flat.
Yep.
Because it wouldn't get there fast enough.
No,
because
we would just get run over by aggro strategies, or just by the time we can play our Pelucranos against control strategies, they would just have, you know, all the counters to it, and we would never be able to get anything on the board.
Right.
So it's really, the linchpin of the mid-range decks right now in this format are the ramp spells.
Right. And so the other style, I'm sure there's, you know,
there are other mid-range styles.
Other sub, you know, mid-range decks. The kind I build are more control-based. So a lot of removal. So it's kind of like the Jund style, because Jund really has a lot of removal.
Like Orzhov. Orzhov, the control, Orzhov mid-range, where they have the Blood Barons and the Elspeths and all that stuff,
yeah,
and the Desecration Demons and whatnot.
So they have, like,
they have Devour Flesh. They have, like, you know, the fucking Ultimate Price. They have Hero's Downfall. They have Thoughtseize. They have these. All their 1, 2, and 3 drop spots basically are all kinds of controlling, removal, discard stuff, just to disrupt everything, what you're doing, until they can bring out Desecration Demon and their bigger stuff. It's essentially the same path.
Yeah.
But instead of ramping, instead of getting their stuff out quicker, they're just making sure that the turns don't matter so much. The first 3 or 4 turns don't matter so much, because your shit's going to be dead.
Exactly. So, like, I have a Golgari mid-range deck, and that's pretty much exactly how I built mine, is that I have 1 or 2 rampy guys. I think I have 2 Caryatids in there, just to make sure, you know, that double black or double green I'm able to get, or maybe get it out a turn early. But I have, you know, 4 Heroes Downfalls. What else do I have? I have some other kill spells in there. But it's not ramp-based. I just want to be able to control the board, kill whatever threats you put out until I get out my Pelucranos on turn, or my Desecration Demon on turn, and then I have Vraska's in there for the top
same
end.
Thing, you bring that thing out though too, and then you can just remove their biggest creature, destroy
whatever problem, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The way.
And then also I think I'm running one of the Mythic Gorgon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The one that wipes the board when it goes monster. Not the keepsake, it's the other one.
Destroy all non-Gorgon creatures.
Yes, exactly. So it's a board wipe just in case, you know, I'm going up against another...
And it's Death Touch, isn't it, or something? There's special battles, like 4/6 Death Touch or something like that?
Yeah, most Gorgons have Death Touch, but it's a 4/6 Death Touch. But that's just to ensure that, you know, if I'm going up against another, like, removal-based deck, you know, I can just... Just it's more removal for me, basically. But
control mid range is definitely a good strategy too.
Yeah, it's the same type where I want to get
instead of ramping, you're just controlling the game until you get to that point.
Right. I wanna get my big fatties out that are slightly unfair, like Desecration Demon, you know, for 4 mana is kind of unfair. It has a downside, but with all my removal it's not that much of a downside.
Except for against him when he brings out his Satyr tokens and just sacks all day.
Yeah, exactly. Like Reich's deck is probably going to trump my deck every single time because, you know, my Devour Fleshes aren't as effective because he's going to have a shitload of mana dorks out. So even if I am able to Devour Flesh one of his mana dorks, like, he's still going to get there. you know, regardless.
You might get there at the same time, and then it just depends on who has the more powerful strategy after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be just power. His is simple power.
Yeah, mine's raw power.
His is raw power, and then that demon, you know, his shit doesn't have a downside.
Right, right.
And yours might.
So, as opposed to aggro strategies, which want a lot of early drops, or control strategies, which have nothing but, like, tempo plays and removal
up until
Elspeth or something,
ender.
You know, the mid-range falls
in between
perfectly those. In between, where they just, it's a really beat-down strategy. Yeah.
Yeah, that is mid-range in a nutshell.
Yeah, that is mid-range. I was expecting them having more to talk about mid-range, but mid-range is pretty simple other formats.
It's probably one of the easier ones. I mean, aggro is pretty easy, but I mean, as opposed to control and like those strategies, mid-range is a little more lenient on you. It's because you're going to get there regardless eventually, but the strategies that revolve around mid-range now is getting there sooner than the other guy.
Right.
My biggest thing is for new players you want to play your exciting cards that you're pulling, those rares that you've been drafting or pulling out of your boosters or whatever. You're real excited to play these sweet, awesome 5/5 flyers and all this nonsense, but make sure you keep in mind that you have to have a strategy to get there, and whether it be through destroying their creatures or ramping into it or whatever we just discussed, that's the thing that I didn't know when I first started off about it, that for newer players, mid-range is sweet because you get to play those awesome cards.
Yeah, you get to play a 1-drop as well as a 7-drop.
Exactly.
You know?
If you play aggro, well, you're probably going to have... it's going to be probably simpler to play. There's not going to be as much thought over the order of cards you play, and you'll probably win a lot of games, but you have to just pick whatever's fast and cheap and whatever. You're not going to be able to play with your entire collection where mid-range you can.
Right.
And mid-range is a lot of fun, because everybody loves big, fat creatures.
Yeah, it's bombs.
It's just versatile, too. Like you said, you're not particularly restricted to a certain, converted mana cost.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, well, I can't have a 5-drop because that's going to be too late. Yeah. Or
opening hand, what the hell am I going to do this shit?
Yeah, exactly. So you can just kind of have like a wide array of different mana costed creatures.
If you pull out a bomb in your opening hand, like one, a lot of times, a lot of games, a lot of other strategies, you're gonna be like, oh, this sucks. But if you were to pull you pull out a Stormbust Dragon in your opening hand, keep that shit. It'll only get one. Because you'll get there. You'll totally get there and you'll be excited to have it. But some other decks, like if I had an aggro strategy and all I had was goddamn King Makar and the freaking Spear of Heliod or whatever else my opening hand, all my awesome stuff that I want later in the game. I'm like, well, I'm not doing anything now. I have Mulligan.
You got on an aggro deck, like the game is decided in the first like three turns. Like you don't have anything to play on the first, second, and third turn. It's like there's no chance.
Right.
I think for a newer player, mid range is probably the best route to go
for fun.
For
straight out winning strategy, I would say
aggro. Sure.
If you want to win off the guy, I think so. Yeah, because I think that playing a mid range deck, you have to have you have to be playing the game longer.
Well, yeah, I can see what you're talking about with aggro. You just got to worry about in your first seven having low drops, whereas mid range you have a lot more decisions to make.
Yeah,
playing it correctly,
seeing what steps like to scry before this or whatever else. There's all kinds of shit that really make a difference for the late game. And aggro, you don't have to worry about that shit. So I just say for pure winning, it's sweet to buy a bunch of cheap shit and go ahead and do the beatdown. But probably gonna get bored of that pretty quick, and then you're gonna be like, well, I have all these other cards I really want to play. Mid range, boom.
Yeah, and sweet. All right, well, shall we try and do a little how not to be a dick?
Yeah,
this isn't really super how not to be a dick, but this is just something that will help you in a pre-release situation or in
a local game store
or a Friday Night Magic or when you're not playing with your friends. This bit of information will help things go a lot smoother. So hot sauce.
I'm not going to start this off.
There's no, I'm not going
to. I don't even know what you guys are even talking about. I suggest everyone just be their own asshole and never listen to what Mike says. Asshole. No, I'm just kidding. Don't nobody be a dick.
So I remember you talking about how during the Journey into Nyx pre-release, you went up against a person who, let's say, was a little unorthodox in his in how he was playing the game.
Yeah, I mentioned it a few episodes where this guy would, like, first of all, he didn't sleeve his shit, which is fine, but it just, for some reason, it just, like, I don't know, it just means something to me. I don't know really why. Anyways, he would bring out his lands, he'd tap them once, and just kind of, like, count out what he needed and start bringing out cards, and he wouldn't, like, untap and really show which cards he was using. He would just kind of point to them, whatever else. And
so he would tap and then just leave them tapped.
And leave them tapped. And it would make me have to just, like, sit there and watch him. But I didn't really, I felt uncomfortable to ask him not to do that, you know, more or less. I just let it go, and if he did make a mistake, which he didn't actually make a mistake for that, then I probably would have had to been like, all right, dude, you can't do this anymore, whatever. Maybe I would have been put the foot down, but it all worked out. But yeah, it takes away from my game, and I have to think about what the hell he's doing. And it's obviously illegal and wrong. We already know that that's like, that's it's fucked up what he did.
Yeah, and also sense, wasn't he like, you know, when he pulled his starting seven, he pulled him from the middle of the deck?
He pulled him from the middle, yep.
So, like, you know, obviously, you know, let's hope that he was just being a little quirky and not trying to cheat. But these were just things that would, like you said, make your playing him a little bit more difficult. So what we're going to talk about is just etiquette, you know.
Good game store etiquette.
Particularly in Magic, but, you know, this can transfer over to other games. But especially with Magic, you know, in person where everything's not spelled out, like on Modo. You know, there's different etiquette on Modo that we won't go into, but just being able to correctly play the game and let your opponent know that what you're doing is the correct thing. So there are many steps in a turn of Magic. So, you know, like untap, upkeep, and draw. Sometimes there are things that your opponent wants to do on your upkeep, but most time people just skip right by that and draw their card.
Yeah, and shortcutting happens a lot, man.
Yeah, and it's that's fine. Everybody does it. Yeah, you know, and especially if you know your, you know, you know your opponent doesn't have any card that interacts on their upkeep, you know, but it's just, you know, nice etiquette to be like untap, upkeep, draw, you know, look at them, make sure that they don't have anything that they want to do during that time.
Yeah.
And it's also up to the opponent, or, you know, if you have something that you want to play on their upkeep, just let them know, hey, like, hey, on your upkeep, I'm going to do something.
Yeah, it's the flip side. It's that sometimes
it's a give and take a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little give and take.
Yeah, well,
let people know that, like, hey, from this point on, like, announce when you're entering combat. And then your opponent's not really going to know what that means. They might have an idea. But, I mean, like, you should say that so that they don't just start, like, tapping shit. And you go, whoa, hold on a second. Like, you know. And if it's the other way, same thing. Just if they start just tapping real fast, whatever, then you need to be like, oh, hold on. Not yet. Don't start tapping and throwing down spells right now, like, without giving me a chance to
interact.
Yeah. You have to pass priority. Some people will tap a creature and then throw down, like, a Titan Strength or whatever. And you're like, whoa, dude. You didn't even, like, before you even tap that shit, I had something to do. And now they're like, well, you saw my card. It's like,
yeah, so it creates
your fault, bro. It's your fault.
It creates this awkward thing because there is like almost like an element of surprise, you know, when it comes to priority passing, because you want to do something that if they pass priority to you, then you know you're going to be able to pull off this trick, and there's nothing they can do about it. But if the priority gets all muddied up, then, you know, you lose the edge of being able to surprise them or whatever the case may be. So I find, especially in my play, what I need to work on is like the whole entire combat phase. So like beginning of combat. Okay, I declare these attackers. Would you like to do anything? No. Okay. So would you like to declare your blockers? Okay, so the priority pass, and then damage goes through. You know, and you know, in the beginning, we misplayed this a lot because it was like when you're attacking, the priority goes from the attacker to the defender. So, you know, I would go, hey, you know, Hot Sauce, I'm attacking you with these two guys. And you're like, okay. And then you go to, like, move over to your D20 to take the damage. And I'm like, oh, no. Well, I have a, you know, giant growth. And it's like, that's not really, like, how it's supposed to work because after...
You're not supposed to wait to see about that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You're supposed to... Because the way it works is that once you declared blockers, or let's say you're like, I don't have any blockers, okay? So I get priority, and then you get priority. So, you know, I have to cast my giant growth, and then you have a chance to respond to it.
So it works out. So I declare attackers, and then you have priority after that, or do I have priority after that?
So what happens is there's not really any priority, but you declare attackers.
Yes.
And then you have priority after attackers are declared.
Okay, and then it goes back to me.
No. So you're.
What if I want to cast a spell after I declare attackers?
Before blockers.
You can do that.
Who gets to do it first?
You get to do it first. The person who attacking. Is on the aggressive.
Okay. I attack. Whoever's then I turn get priority to cast a spell. Then he gets priority to cast a spell.
Yeah, whoever's then turn it is has first
blockers.
Priority.
Then he declares blockers. Then the attacker has the opportunity to cast a spell, and then the two-person blocking has an opportunity to respond.
Right.
And then damage goes.
Then damage resolves.
Because once the defender says, you know, I have these blocks, and then the attacker, would you like to do anything? No. And then the defending player says, okay, I don't want to do anything. Then damage happens. You can't be like, oh, well, since you're not going to do anything, I want a giant.
That's what I always want to get a point across.
Exactly. So that gets muddied up, especially at a fucking...
Goddamn racetrack.
Jesus. So I think that particular point right there gets muddied up in casual play, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, on a Friday night Magic, it's not like... It's a thing you want to be aware about, but it's not a huge deal because... It's more of a friendly atmosphere. But at a tournament setting, then you got to be, like, point on the point, like, call a judge, you know. You got to be...
Right.
You miss that trigger. Like, that's another thing. Don't assume that when you miss a trigger that it's okay to just, like, oh, no, I got that. I got that 1-1 soldier or whatever. Oh, I got that one life. Like, you need to make sure you put your finger and point to that card and be like, on my upkeep, boom, one life. You have to say that. If you go ahead and draw a card, it is kind of your fault for drawing that card. You shouldn't have drawn it yet. You should have gained that life. Before you pick that card up. And it might be like, oh, no, it's no big deal. Like, you know, it's all the same time, right? It's really not. It's in a casual setting, we'll all let it slide. As long as you're not, like, casting spells and shit like that, like main phase spells, then maybe you fucking probably missed that life or whatever. But in a tournament setting, you need to do it in a certain order. And that's kind of like it might be a bummer for new players being like, well, I don't want to, like, have to worry about all these little details, but... You know, that's what the tournament's all about. It's all about the every little thing mattering because it's a blot on the line.
Because that's how the game works.
Yeah.
But like Reich was saying that in like Friday Night Magic or a pre-release event, like it's a lot more casual, but you still want to do these things just so the game goes smoothly because, you know,
there might be gray areas or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like at the pre-release, one of the newer guys in our group, he missed the trigger.
Fucked it all up.
Yeah, he missed the trigger or something, and then he's like, "Oh, can I still do that?" And I was like, "Yeah, go ahead." Like, it's not gonna change the whole state of the game, you know. Like, he just missed a simple do nothing trigger. I was like, "Sure, go ahead." You know, obviously because he's learning. You know, I don't want to leave a bad taste.
Yeah, well,
in his mouth.
Everyone has different levels of experience with the game. Like, some people new, some people veterans. You know,
right?
And you gotta take into account that these aren't at a Friday Night Magic. You're not. In like a tournament setting where everyone's like should be on their game and know all the minute details of the rules, but you know you're in a more relaxed setting and you want to be able to you know facilitate that relaxed setting.
Right, but I you know if he missed a trigger that would have won him the game, I'd be like, I'm sorry. Like sometimes you gotta learn the hard way, and I did do that in one of the matches where I was like, yeah, you shouldn't have done that, and you can't take it back now. Like,
yeah, well,
I'm sorry.
I think it comes down to like, what kind of Friday Night Magic player you want to be. Do you want to be the guy that's, you know, like, iron fist, like, to the rules, or do you want to be, you know, a little more lenient?
And you have every right, though, to be the iron fist.
Yeah, you can
be.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like, you know, people aren't going to frown on that you following the rules, but I feel personally, for my personality, that, you know, if someone did, like, miss, like, oh, I'm supposed to gain life or something like that, I mean, that's not a huge deal. I mean, that's fine by me, but I mean, and especially if you can tell if it's a newer person, I mean, I feel like you should probably be a little more on the lenient side.
Right.
Because, I mean, it is, people are like...
Yeah, feel it out.
It already takes a lot of, like, I feel like it takes a lot of effort for people to get out there and, like, already put themselves in these situations with, like, you know, some people don't like to, you know, do the social thing.
Yeah, like, it's like you're nervous, you know.
Yeah, you're already nervous that you're playing this game that you don't really know very well with people that may already, you know, been playing for years and years, and so it's already a daunting thing. And you don't want to be the guy that makes his experience bad so that he doesn't want to come back.
Right. So, like, during the pre-release, I missed a bunch of my triggers from that artifact where I draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so the guy I was playing, too, Ian, he was missing triggers and I was missing triggers. And we were both just kind of, like, laughing about it. And, like, it was no big deal. And, obviously, you know, it was a pre-release. So it's not like there's a big money prize on the line. But it always helps the game go a lot more smoothly if you just announce everything and kind of stick to, you know, like, it's kind of almost dickish to be like, oh, well, I'm going to let that slide. Oh, but I'm not going to let that slide.
Yeah.
You know, you like, I totally did that.
You got to have some standard procedure on how you handle it. But I mean, yeah.
Or maybe you just let it slide once and you're like, you know
okay,
what?
Next time,
yeah, exactly.
Like, just say a heads up, like, okay, we missed this one. That's fine this time. But next time we'll have to, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about, like, that's perfect.
You know, just talk. I mean, they're both people. Like, just talk with each other, you know?
And I totally, I was reminding Dan when I played him, I was reminding him of, like, certain triggers. Or maybe it was somebody else, but I was like, hey, don't forget about that trigger. Because obviously these are new cards. We haven't played with them before, so we're all, like, you know, kind of fucking up here and there, you know. So, like you said, it's all about how you want to, what kind of player do you want to be? Do you want to facilitate a friendly environment? You know, and that's not to say, like, let people, like, cheat.
Yeah, just run all over you. But, yeah, I mean, there's a point. I mean, and there's always, if you have something in doubt or you don't know how to handle it, or, you know, even if you know how to handle it but you're kind of a little hazy, there's judges. Call a judge. I mean, that's why there are all the events. I mean, there's always someone there that has the knowledge or can get the exact answer for you and then make it crystal clear to both players so that there's no gray areas.
I called a judge twice just because I thought I knew. And the other player was new, so he was like, "Oh, I believe whatever you say." I'm like, "Well, let's call a judge." You know, I've been known to be an idiot from time to time. So, but one thing that I am gonna try and do is I'm gonna bring something to put on my cards, like not like a chess piece, but just like maybe like a little stone or something that will remind me of my triggers, like a quickness does it. For his scrying, he'll put a d20 on top of his on top of his deck for his Thassa scry, so he doesn't forget it. So you know, taking precautionary steps like that, so you don't screw up your triggers, you know, really helps. I've played Consuming Aberration ever since I started playing Magic, and I still fuck up the trigger whenever I cast a spell. And I learned
'cause you can't let it resolve.
Well, yeah. Before it resolves, I have to do this trigger. But the thing I learned is it doesn't say you may have your opponent. You have to. So if I were to miss it, I could be like, hey, judge, I missed this trigger. It has to happen for the game to go correctly forward. So, you know, if it's enough back steps, if it's a feasible, like, oh, you know, I played a spell, then he played a spell – then you can kind of backtrack it. But if it was like 5 turns ago, then it's like, well, can't really do much about that.
Yeah. So here's one like that, okay? Obsidat.
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 Ghost Daddy.
Ghost Daddy. The Ghost Daddy. He is the 5-mana, 5/5, enters the battlefield, he drains your opponent for 2 life, and you gain 2 life. Now, at your end step, you can exile him from the game.
You may.
You may exile him from the game. And then return him on your next upkeep, and he gains haste on a turn. So it's not. So here's the key thing. It's on your next upkeep. If you forget on your next upkeep to bring him out, he never returns.
Mm.
I didn't know this playing him back, you know, before, but I saw this in a tournament recently where it was like literally like quarterfinals or whatever, or better than
sucks.
That. This guy brings out Obsidat. he, you know, same thing. He flips him away, and it says, on your next upkeep, you need to bring him back. And he ended up, like, drawing a card or whatever, and it was like, yeah, and then opposite that. He brings it back in, and the judge is like, whoa, hold on a second. And he pulls it back, and they hang out, and he's like, you can never bring that back into play.
Because, oh, man.
Like, that is exiled forever. It says, and he's like, so I can't, it's like, it can't be your next upkeep. It's like, no, it's the next, it was already the next upkeep. Yeah. There is no next after that.
Ouch.
So that's it. It's just a little trigger like that, that it could come down to like, oh no, I just forgot. Okay, cool. Bring it back in. No big deal. Or you fucking lost off to that. And then that can happen. It is your fault.
Yeah.
And it is when you play cards like that, you need to, you know, really know what you're doing.
What really helped me a lot with correct lines of play and remembering triggers and just remembering when things happen is playing Magic Online. It really helped because it spells everything out for you. So if you're actually paying attention to what triggers happen and when the order of things happen, it's a great teaching tool just to pay attention how the game flows.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started really learning a lot more, like especially about the stack and priority and everything like that. Like Magic Online really helped out in that aspect. So it's definitely something that plagues paper players a lot more. But just communicate with your opponent. You know, if it's a more casual setting like Friday Night Magic, say like, oh, you know, I fucked up, and see how they feel about it. And if they don't let it slide, then you know, whatever. Remember your fucking triggers. You know, but if they're like, okay, you know, take it back, you know, then maybe be lenient with them if it comes to like a trigger or something like that. But in tournament settings, I don't think there's any room like a GP or a PTQ or something like that. There's no room for leniency for the most part. Mm-hmm. So,
right, you are, Ken.
Yep. Yes. So I don't know about you guys.
I want to play some Magic.
But I want to play some Magic. I'm done talking about Magic.
Are you guys hungry at all?
Yeah. Let's get food and play some Magic.
Food and probably go to the store, game store.
Yeah, we gotta go to the card store.
Maybe pick up like a booster box. So that's yeah. Okay, two booster boxes.
Ooh, I can print out my Duels of the Planeswalker and get a free pack.
Yeah.
Oh,
sweet.
Okay. Did they do that there? Was it Crazy Fred's or
Diver?
No, I checked online for the participating.
And they had there
participating locations. Blah blah blah. You know.
Well, now I need to go get mine now.
Oh.
I'm going to call Raheem, tell him to log in, and I'll write down the code.
Print it, fax it. Anyways, thanks for hanging out with us. Go ahead and check out all the things we say every fucking time. We now have our Twitch streams.
Ooh, I wanted to talk about
it. Yeah, good. Take the reins, my friend. Take the reins.
Ching, 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 ching. Like Santa Claus reins, you know.
Okay.
I was wondering what that was. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe like hard, like.
So. We got a little help with our website. It changed around a little bit, so if you guys want to check it out, iflandscouldkill.com. We have our Twitch streams, like Mr. Knife was about to say, and I just cut him off so blunt. So we have Twitch streams up there, and they're embedded in the page, so you don't have to go to Twitch or none of that stuff. You don't even have to, like, I don't think you have to even sign in or nothing like that. You just, like, click it, and there it is.
So watch.
You can avoid all that shit if you are afraid, because Twitch is a scary new place for you. Just go ahead and go to our site and check it out. We have that. We have a couple things that we have had up about telling a little bit about our background and how we started playing and whatnot. We have all of our versus videos on a playlist, so when you click on the video, on the left top hand corner, it'll have a playlist bar and it'll say what number you are out of what videos, and you can click that and just go ahead and browse through everything. You don't need to be relocated to YouTube, but you can still see all our versus videos there. And we have three new videos up. We have a video between Reich and a Quickness for Legacy.
Oh, the Legacy.
What were you talking about?
I was playing Esper Stoneblade. And Quickness, I believe, was playing
Delver.
Red Blue Delver.
Red Blue White Delver,
yeah.
Yeah, so he was playing that. If you are a fan of Legacy or want to see a match, that's up. We have a second video that's Modern, featuring these same players playing what?
I was playing Pod, Malera Pod, and he was playing a Splinter Twin, a red-blue Splinter Twin deck.
Yeah, and that was a pretty good game.
Yeah, that was actually a really good one.
One of my favorite videos that we made so far was actually, I'm just going to say it, was myself and Knife
playing Mill versus Hexproof.
Oh my god!
I just thought it was real entertaining to watch, and as we were just being real stupid when we were playing.
It was a frustrating match for the both of us.
It was a funny match. So that's a standard game between Naya Hexproof and Demir Mill, a little homebrew. That's also up. So those three videos for you guys to check out. And what else is new to the page? We have Twitter streams on there.
You know what? I don't want to drop any bombs or anything, but in the next, you know, let's say two months, I'd say, we're going to be putting up some articles.
Yeah.
We're going to start writing, and we're going to have
a real web page.
We're going to be real Magic players. So we're going to be putting out some articles. I don't know how frequently. It's just going to kind of be... You know, at our own leisure, no fucking, due dates or anything, but, if you just...
We'll keep stuff coming.
If you hate the sound of our voices, you know, go ahead and look forward to some future articles of, you know, we can drop some knowledge on
it. We're all wordsmiths.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's always told me I have a face for radio, so...
You got a voice for websites and a face for radio.
So go ahead and check that out, and a bunch of us are always streaming stuff on Twitch, magic or non-magic related. Just
right,
we're a bunch of game nerds. So
same thing. I don't know where you're checking this podcast out at. This is through iTunes or YouTube or whatever else. But same thing, you can go to our website, and everything that we have put up is there.
And now you can download our episodes through the website.
You can download the episode. You can download the episodes and also stream it from the website and subscribe from iTunes, subscribe on YouTube, and...
And there's a link to MTGCast.
And link to MTGCast, which is a pretty big supporter of
us. Yeah, go ahead and check out all the other podcasts on there. There's a... it's a community for Magic podcasts and a bunch of cool guys.
Just really good website.
Yeah, doing the same thing we're doing, just having fun talking about Magic. So.
Yeah, see, there might be other categories or style of play that you would want to be more interested in.
Yeah.
And that's where you can find that stuff.
There's more specific stuff. There's a Commander podcast, a Pauper podcast, a fucking podcast that don't make dick jokes and stuff like that. So
what? Those exist?
I know,
don't,
right?
Don't listen to them. Those,
yeah, those guys.
I don't trust people that don't make dick jokes.
Yeah.
Those are shady characters.
Yeah, so. On that note, thanks for listening in. This is episode 12 of If Lands Could Kill. Stay tuned for in the next couple weeks for the Baker's Dozen. And
I was just thinking about that joke.
I was going to make that joke. Oh my god, that's not even a good joke.
I was just going to say Baker's Dozen when you were done talking.
Oh no.
My god.
All right, I'm Left City.
Woo! I'm a Quickness.
And this is Reich.
And Hot Sauce.
Wait, what?
What?
You said Quickness.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to do all four.
Oh, okay.
All right. You know what? And disaster.
We're out of here.
On that train wreck.
On that bomb.
On that, was it? What did they say in Top Gear?
Fuck, I don't know.
Ah, fucking. And we're out.
Good night, San Diego.
On that bombshell. On that bombshell.
Dude, I've had, okay, so I had Taco Bell. So I bought Taco Bell the other night, but I bought too much, kind of knowing that I wasn't gonna eat it all. I was like, I'll just have some for the next day.
Did you just get one of each thing that you saw in
that one? No, I was everything. Give me two of those, and then one of those.
Oh, and then
XXL.
Yeah, here's an XXL nachos on top of that. That's, I've done that. The last time I went, I ordered a number of whatever. And give me the XXXL nachos.
Give me that huge fucking big ass picture that you guys have up.
I need that prescription for diarrhea, please.
Okay, so I ate a whole bunch, and then I had three burritos left, and I had two
three burritos left.
Yeah, dude, I was the non-stoner stoner munchies. So I had two. I ordered a bunch, and then the next morning I had. Two for breakfast, and then one, later on that day. I've had, nonstop diarrhea.
Yeah.
It won't go away.
Literally.
Because there's nothing solid in that food. There's nothing... That food is... It's empty food, dude.
Yeah, I think saying food is pretty gracious, because...
Yeah.
And, eating cold Taco Bell, I didn't warm it up. I'm too lazy for that. I'm just I want this in my mouth now. And, that's what your mom said.
Yeah, no.
And, it's all when it's all congagulated and, hard and... I mean, I still ate it, but...
Dude. But you were crying the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah.
So sad.
So I'm just seriously, like, it's a whole nother level of diarrhea. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but it's like a fart, oh, I might shit my pants.
Yeah,
sure. Like, for the past, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
So, like, this morning I woke up.
Welcome to my whole life, man.
This morning I woke up and I was like, sauce. I was gonna, like, fart, and then, like, I was like, oh! And then I gotta run to the bathroom real fast before I shit myself.
I don't think saying that actually prevents it from
coming
out, by the way.
I thought it helped. I thought that was, like, the, you know, the key word.